Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah.
that narrow line. I used to think that everything was fine. Sometimes I'd sit and gaze the days through ceaseless dreams, all alone and trapped in time. All alone and trapped in time. I wonder what tomorrow has in mind for me. Or am I even in its mind at all? Perhaps I'll get a chance to look ahead and see. Soon as I find myself a crystal ball. Soon as I find myself a crystal ball. Well, tell me where I'm going. I don't know where I've been. Tell me, won't you tell me and then tell me again? My heart is breaking, my body's aching, and I don't know where to go. So tell me, won't you tell me?
Welcome, everybody. Hi, this is Psychic Journeyman here at Psychic Journeyman Talk Radio.
How are you doing tonight? We've been gone for a while. We haven't been here for like the last week. This is our first show this week, so welcome, and
may everybody walk into the whole thing. I see the chat room is very full, and
guys, I think we're having a little technical difficulties with the freaking voice on this whole thing, but we see some new people in the chat room and that kind of thing. Kind of crazy.
Trying to adjust and things here too. So welcome to the show. This is Psychic Journeyman here on Psychic Journeyman Talk Radio. Tonight it's called Free Angel Reading Roundtable Midnight. This is where we have all mics open. Everybody's welcome to come on the show. I invite if anybody's out there who's a psychic who'd like to come on the show and do readings with me,
feel free to do so. The people come on the show. We have, like I said, we have open mic, so you're more welcome to stick around afterwards and voice your opinion about other people's readings. So therefore, hey, you know, one of those crazy weeks of we're in this thing where, how would you call it? Mercury retrograde, which is not one of my favorite times ever, you know, because it can really drive you crazy and that kind of stuff, too. So, like I said, we're having some technical difficulties here, so. We're trying to deal with this whole thing, and I can't figure out what the heck is going on. So we're going to see. So we're going to try to work things out. So please join me on the show. We're going to do some readings here and that kind of stuff. Like I said, everybody, welcome to Annie. Love song. I've never seen this ever before. Welcome. Faith Angel, guest, Earthbound Angel, thank you for being here. Amy, a Cupid Psychic Game, and Blake Frederick, thank you for being here. And Bobby Radio B, thank you, Robert, for being here. So let's go and go back to it. And, anybody who wants to join me on the show, please do so. Let's have a nice round table of people that are going to sit here and talk about this and any other. I think we're actually going to bring a topic to the show that actually we're going to do a reading here. But one thing that's bugging me, too, it's basically about jealous people and why do they get jealous, and is it really a sense of control or is it really a sense of concern? So it's one of those situations of looking at that. So let's bring our first call. Wendy, how are you? Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. So you're asking some questions about finances and that kind of thing, too. And you're also looking into insights into your love life, correct?
Yes. I think you're cutting out a little bit, but I'm understanding what you're saying.
Well, that's good. But I get the Mercury retrograde thing going on because it just set it up when we did our little thing here. And I was just like, man, this is driving me crazy.
Yeah.
So we're trying to stay as still as possible. So it seems like the situation, I see you are concerned about your finances, but really, like, being forced to more of the love part.
Sorry?
No, I was sort of saying that I see that you're concerned with finances.
Yes, I'm expecting some money, and I just want to know if I'm going to get it.
And as I was focusing on that part of your life, I was really being directed back to focusing on your love life more than anything else. Does that make sense?
You were brought back to my love life? Is that what you said?
Yeah, so I was focusing on your love life and I wasn't, you know.
Oh, darn. You're cutting out a lot.
I feel like jumping out a window.
Oh, dear.
Oh, so everybody heard that, right?
I heard that part.
Yes, isn't it amazing? So, Wendy, when's your birthday?
It's May 13th,
1969. I'm not trying to press on anything, but, you know, with the situation, how old would that make you? Because for some reason my math is kind of shot.
I'm going to be 42.
42?
Mm-hmm.
That would throw me off, because your voice would tell me you're 26.
I get that a lot. Sometimes they've even said I sound like a little girl, or a telemarketer will call, and they'll say, can I speak to your mommy or daddy, please?
You're speaking to him. Yeah. So May 13th, huh?
Yes.
You're a Taurus.
Yes.
The Tauruses are great. I have to say that because I'm a Taurus, too.
Yeah, we're special.
That's right. We're the strongest sign of the zodiac. I don't care what they say. Man, I swear. Why is there a planet called Mercury to drive us nuts? So with the so you have money coming in, huh? So you're just, I mean, it's one of those situations of concern. Why are you so, you know, one thing I was kind of just focusing on, why there's so much concern of finances. There seems like there have been things turning around for you.
Yeah. Well, this is a disability tax credit.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been approved for it. I'm just waiting for the money.
Well, I don't feel like you have to wait very long.
You don't?
No,
that's
I don't.
Good.
I mean, it's like, how long did they tell you that it would be before it popped in?
They don't give you a time.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I keep getting that you're focusing on a certain time, and I think it's gonna come in before. I see it as a surprise.
You do, as a surprise.
Yeah.
It's quite a lump sum of money, and I can do so much with my money because there's so many people I want to help. And I'm not talking like millions of dollars. I'm just talking under, you know, like a few thousand dollars, but there's people, there's my friends that are in need, and
mm-hmm.
I need the money and for chiropractic services and ongoing medical expenses, and because I live on a fixed income.
Mhm.
So it will be such a blessing if I get it.
And you said you've been approved of this too, right?
Mhm.
Mhm. Yeah, I was back problems, right?
Mhm.
Lower.
Yes.
or bomb. I keep getting I can't say the word. I can see the word, but I can't pronounce it. Like lumbra lump shoots. I can see it. It's like L-U-N-B-A.
It's my lower back and all my right side. It's affecting my leg as well, my right leg.
You get tingling sensations that kind of like make, what I got was lower back, right above your tailbone, okay? And then there's also other things. You really could use some outside healing that to help you heal yourself in these situations too. The one thing I was getting too, that it was like you're on your right foot, your three toes, the pinky and the other two toes have a tendency to have a tingling sensation.
Mm-hmm.
And it's showing some circulation problems that are outside the ideal of having back problems.
Okay.
I keep getting a recommendation of taking some niacin.
Okay.
Okay, it shows that you're very sensitive.
Yes.
So you sense this money coming, and you're just like getting confirmation.
Mm-hmm.
It also indicates that you know what to do. It's saying trust your inner knowledge, act upon it without delay. So therefore, there's a lot of things that it's like in the process of waiting for the money, they're saying stop waiting for it and start planning for it. It's like
you can
put things into play right now. They also suggest. They also suggest that you start your own business. Get past the limited income. Because a lot of people get stuck in the whole thing. Because that's why I don't like, in some sense of the word, the reason why I have a problem with government assistance is because sometimes it's good for a while, but it has a tendency to keep you there. It's not made to motivate you. They said, okay, take the money and invest it in a business. It could be so simple as just focusing your intent on what you want to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
And then, because I had a friend of mine, I actually had a client, okay, and she made $825 a month. But she had a potential of having a home. She already had a home business. But she basically worked company, and she processed visa bills for people. And she was a month. But she refused to do it because she wanted to hang on to her disability.
Mm-hmm.
And that was just so sad that a person could make that kind of money, but was still feeding in what would happen if I lost the job, not really having a lot of confidence in herself. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. And, yeah.
You know, I just feel like you are totally different than that.
Mm-hmm.
So the opportunity, I'm just saying the opportunity comes along, which I feel like it's going to, would bring a whole lot more harmony to your life. I'm not saying the situation of what's coming in right now is a blessing too, okay? But use it as a blessing and say, okay, help some friends. But please, it's like help yourself, you know, maintain that balance within it, this giving it that you do.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my freaking shoulder's killing me, man.
You're not picking that up for me.
Okay. I'll take your word for it. No, but don't worry about it.
Yeah.
No, I was working out a couple of days ago and kind of overdid it, so.
Oh.
That's me. But it's just me trying to get back into shape, that's all. I'm just saying, it talks about you know what to do to keep the balance in your life. So it's okay to give. But remember one thing, in the process of giving service to the world, you live here too.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to actually be good for somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it's like you are really, what's the situation of happening with backs and that kind of stuff? You are definitely a leader. It's just because some things have kind of thrown you off the path.
Okay. Sorry.
I'm confidence.
Oh, no. I heard you say I'm a leader, and then you cut out.
Oh, you're a leader. It's the leader, as it talks about here, it says it's time for you to assume your leadership power and position and lovingly guide others. So think about that. Focus. Ah.
Yes, I would like to. I believe that applies to my field that I'm studying and working on, which is with the mental health community.
Mental health?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I'm just saying, you are very talented in a lot of different ways, so just try to explore all of them. That's one of them. You also seem to be very intuitive, very sensitive, so that's another.
Mm-hmm.
I can also keep getting writing with you, too, as well.
Mm-hmm. I've been encouraged to write from a lot of people. I'd love to write my something, so
mm-hmm.
I just have to put my effort into it and write a book.
Yes, you're going to have to. You're just going to sit there and put it out there just so you can actually say you did it. I think you have, and it's talking about that you have a lot of good ideals, they're brain ideals. You just have to sit there and have confidence and say yes. They're definitely going to happen. No big deal, no problem. It's all coming up, and it's all going to happen. I see that. I feel like you also you learn things very quickly, so you're also a very good teacher as well. Excuse me.
Oh, so wow.
Yeah, put the effort into those situations. But, you know, the one thing I was being pulled to the most is, like, you're looking. That's what it comes to me. You're looking for someone to share your life with when you should be just opening yourself up to the possibilities.
Do you see someone in my picture?
What kind of picture do you have?
Oh,
you know,
in
you
my...
Have a lot of,
well,
have a photo, you have a photo album in your head. That's what I'm asking you. In particular, it's like looking at the situation of, I have this picture over here. I picture myself with a person. Then I have, you know, certain things in your life that you just feel that position, you know? Does that make sense?
Oh, dear, you cut out. Sorry. I'm so sorry.
Oh, I'm losing my eyesight, too. Okay. Okay. I just went blurry for a minute. So, no. I said I saw pictures in your mind. Like you have a photo album of these different scenarios in your mind of having a significant somebody in your life.
Yes, very much so. I've had that photo ever since I was little. I've been a romantic.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah,
like Taurus, that's the Taurus. The Taurus.
I'm looking. Yeah, I believe in love, true love.
Romantic. Where you live?
Soulmate love. I am in Ontario, Canada.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah.
Is there a big body of water close to you?
Yes, there is.
Yeah, it's like, whoa. I just, like, you know, all I saw was, like, some kind of, like, it looks like mountains reflecting off the water, like a mirror.
Well, we have a beach, and it's the largest cold water beach close to the town I'm living in.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm.
A beach, huh?
Mm-hmm.
That means you're, like, close to the ocean, or you are the ocean, right?
No, it's not the ocean, no.
Oh, so it is a lake.
It's Georgian Bay, yeah.
Okay, so it's like a... I'm just saying when I see it, it looks like a lake, but it is big.
Mm-hmm. It is fast, yes.
Okay. No problem. I just want you to focus and meditate and kind of add some... If there are certain things that you don't do, you should. If you're gravitated to do them, you should do them. I feel like that when I sit here pick up on the things, the ideal spiritual understanding and just a lot of working with archangels and souls. If you get a book and all the angels, they would really help you connect with what's around you. Of focusing like Archangel Uriel, Archangel Sandrophin, Archangel Zachariel. Get a little information, a little knowledge about who these angels are about, and they would help you understand why they are with you, so that you could focus on those certain parts of your life. Meditation is really good, not just for stilling the mind, but as you're meditating, it's also a good time to ask your angels and guides to be more, I don't know, flamboyant with their messages, so you can actually see them very clearly. I've done that myself. I want to see a message of the person I'm going to be with. That would be so obvious, I wouldn't miss it because I have a tendency to do that. So it's just like trying to clarify those things for the angels.
And did you say that you saw them around me?
Yes.
And what is their names again? I know Uriel, Dadkiel?
Sandolphin. Sandolphin.
Sandolphin, okay.
Because I can spell it for you. It's Sand. A. It's like S. Okay, Sandal. Sandal?
Mm-hmm.
Sandolphin.
Yeah, Sandolphin, yes.
Yeah, we have this. Archangel Sandolphin was actually, supposedly, he was actually human. He's the only, like, there's two archangels that were actually human at one time. And Archangel Sandolphin was one of them, and Archangel Metatron. They were both
wow.
human. So there's a book out there by Doreen Virtue called, I think it's called Archangels and Ascended Masters.
I have it.
Okay, so check out the archangels themselves. The ones I get is Archangel Gabriel and Archangel Uriel is the ones that come up the most. Archangel Michael's with you too as well.
I was just going to ask, what about Michael?
Yes, Michael's with you too as well. And I get a green tint with you too, so I'll say Raphael. But I also feel like Raphael is trying to heal past issues when it comes to finances.
Raphael's trying to heal my finances?
It's like past pattern of finance issues. See, sometimes in situations, people have big sums of money that come in, but they still have the same mindset that they did when they didn't have money. See, that worked against you, where you would be hard to be successful. So it's the ideal of working with that to let go of those old habits and patterns in favor of what you can create.
I never got your name, Spirit Man. Is it Joseph?
No, that's a joke. I'm like,
sorry?
Psychic X Journeyman. My friends call me Donnie.
Okay. I didn't get the last part, but I will call you Journeyman.
okay.
I see flashes and sparkles of light. I've seen them for years now. And then they stopped for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And I really miss them. And I think it's because I haven't meditated enough.
Yes.
But the other night I saw a blue one. I saw two. And a blue one on my bed. Just light up above my bed. I don't know if it was Archangel Metatron or Archangel Michael.
I get the impression it was Archangel Michael and Raphael.
Oh, and Raphael together.
And usually when you get those sparkles of things in meditation, you get a connection to the spark. In fact, if you meditate, those sparkles of energy have been related to the chakra, the third eye chakra.
Uh-huh.
That's the one in charge of clairvoyancy.
Yes. Okay. Well, I feel honored when I see them, and so humbled.
You should.
And they're just.
But they're also
light.
Very happy to be with you too, as well, to be honored to help you in your situations and your endeavors. It's, all they say is meditation is good, but it's just the idea of also opening up so you can just listen.
Mm-hmm.
Holy mackerel.
Mercury retrograde is really working bad on your computer or your phone line.
Right.
Your phone lines. Yeah, you keep cutting out like Skype.
Yeah, we call it Skype bouncing.
Well, thank you so much for taking all this time with me.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you for being here, and thank you for your call. And like I said before, you're more welcome to stick around if you'd like to just listen in on the other calls and that kind of thing. And
yes, I will. I'll stay and listen.
And if you have any kind of like insights or something you want to tell somebody, you're more welcome to also voice those too as well. So, thank you. And we're going to go on to our next caller. And we're going to try to keep this Skype bouncing down to a minimum if we can. You never know. Welcome to the show. Area code 11111. Hello? Hello? I'm echoing throughout the universe. It's kind of crazy, isn't it? Hello? Your hand is...
Hello? Hello? Hello?
Yes, who are you?
It's Amy.
I know. I'm sitting there going, Amy, but why is she not saying anything? She must have got lost in a piece of clothing when she was folding it up. But,
Hey, Donnie.
Hey,
it's
what's
Jeremy.
Up? Thank
How
you.
Much? You need to, I'm gonna buy you a microphone system. I can't take this anymore.
You
I love you to death, man. And your life revolves around this show, and we have got to get you another mic. Period.
Okay. No.
I am being serious. I'm not being condescending. I mean, you have been cutting out and cutting out and cutting out, and you have such a good show, and it's a shame that there's something wrong, because I'm an audio engineer, so I would love to be there next to you. I'd be, like, fixing that entire system and having you sound pristine, but I'm not. So I'm taking one of two things. It's either that microphone that you have with a cord issue, or it's something that's going on with your computer that's running CPU, which I don't really think that's the problem.
Right.
I think it's just, you know, you don't use, like, Boink or anything like that. You know what I'm talking about? The stuff that you can, your computer crunches numbers and...
No.
No. Right.
I don't use Boink.
Just curious.
No.
Because sometimes
no.
When your CPU is running at a very, you know, higher rate on your computer, it can interfere with audio, especially with USB and things like that, and it'll give a cutting effect. And I was just curious if you had anything else running in the background.
No, that's what... Right. I mean, during the day, sometimes it seems like I have no problems at all. Then I sit there and all of a sudden it's like, okay, I hear everybody, but I can't hear it tonight. I can hear other people. They're fading in and out too.
Yeah, there's a little bit of an issue with Skype, but that's not what I'm referring to. There's something going on
right.
With your microphone that just has to be corrected.
The chat room's talking about donations for mics. So
yeah.
We have a donation for Donnie to get a new mic. Let's manifest him one, Courtney says.
Yeah.
All right.
I'll definitely give to the cause.
I will, too.
As long as I know he's going to use that money for that reason.
I promise you, that's exactly what I'm going to use it for, because everything else is coming in very nicely, so if I my show would just stop hurting.
Now, unfortunately, with your system, you won't be able to hear yourself cutting out. You know, your audience will, and I'm using a system where, you know, like Amy and I can both hear our voices, and we can hear the audio quality, and if anything happens, and we can hear it right away, just like in a professional radio station, they can hear themselves talking. And that's the problem with USB mics, is you're not able to hear your own voice, and therefore you're never sure if you're hearing background noise or if your mic's
mm-hmm.
cutting out. So that's why they do that, so they can have a little bit of semblance of control.
Oh, yeah. No, that's what I was hoping to do, because one night I was sitting there talking and said, if someone could just tell me, because I can't tell. And they're like, okay. So somebody actually did call in and said, you know, you're doing fine, but there's every once where you fade out. I'm like, I don't understand why. I've checked everything on my system.
And how old's your microphone?
I just got it.
Did you? Okay.
Yeah.
And it's a USB, I'm taking.
Yeah, shit. I'm sorry. shoot.
There he goes again. He's cutting out.
Oh, thank God. You know,
one of the other things that you can do is you can look into your computer system, make sure there's nothing running in the background outside of what you're doing right then and there, because that will interfere with bandwidth and even, you know, internally with your microphone. It's running CPU power. There's an input that goes into that. There's a lot of cross traffic in your CPU or something going on. Like, for instance, I had a show host that was similar to you that ran, he would download like multiple programs and eat up his own bandwidth. I really don't think that's the issue with you, but it sounds like there's a problem with your CPU overcast or the mic itself with the cord or something. So
how about a cordless system?
Okay.
I mean, I have a wireless. I have a wireless. I mean, something, you know.
I just feel like it's a cord or like a wire issue that you have to like pull or something. That's what I feel.
The wireless makes a lot of sense because there could be some interference, electronic interference, which does happen from time to time. It happens on my system. That's why if I do like a radio program, I don't use a cordless system.
And join us right now. We're talking about microphones. Come on in. So what do you think? So I was actually we had a situation come on where we were talking about. It came up. I was talking to Bree, which she's actually here, I think. Hey, Bree, are you there?
I am.
Yeah, we were talking about jealous people. Is it a controlled issue or just a lack of self-esteem? You know, and so we had this little situation like, hey, maybe we should bring that to the round table and say, hey, what the heck's up with jealous people? Is it really a control issue? And I was just kind of concerned about the situation from a psychic standpoint when you start picking up things. How would you put this? People who say they're intuitive seem to be sometimes in a situation seem to be the most jealous. And sometimes it could be they're picking up little bits and pieces of things. So they have a tendency to play off those things and go, okay, I sense something with you that like you're messing around or something when it's just basically someone lying, or maybe we'll put it like this, someone stretching the truth. So I was just wondering if anybody else had any comments about that. I guess not. Okay.
Well, jealous, I was just about to say, we need a little silence here to break in.
Okay.
I didn't want to interrupt you. I think jealous people are insecure.
Mm-hmm.
Or trying to hide something themselves, so they're pointing fingers.
Yep, exactly.
Right. Yeah, because I was sitting going on this thing with Shannon, and the first thing, when she started getting jealous, the first thing that came in my mind of what I was picking up on was because she was doing something that she wasn't too happy with. So she's just assuming that somebody else is doing the same thing. So I guess it
jealous
would be definitely...
Jealous people often believe in themselves, I think. That's why they get jealous of other people, because they don't feel that they're able or capable of doing something that you're doing themselves.
No, so we could have a double whammy here of jealousy, not just the idea that she could be messing around with somebody else and she's thinking I am too, but it could also be a jealousy because I've noticed she's been supposedly she's on another show doing spiritual work, and it's like she's trying to keep up with me. And it's like there's competition there. I'm like, I don't understand the competitional thing, you know. It's like I'm just being who I am, and I just expect everybody else to do the same. But for some reason, she feels this is a competition of who can be the most spiritual, and I'm just like, I'm just really looking at everybody who's giving me advice about leaving the situation alone of understanding why, because it just seems like it's something that's kind of getting out of control. And the more I allow it to happen, it seems like the more the person wants to... I just keep getting the word domination. So it's just weird. That's all I can sit there and say. I mean, I've never had that kind of experience where someone's... Well, maybe I have. I just wasn't really aware of it. And it doesn't make sense in some sense of the word of people going, well, I don't like you. And it's not because they don't like you. It's just, you're like you said before, there's something, you're something that they want to be. So they have a tendency to freak out.
What are we talking about?
Who's eating salad?
I'm eating gummy bears. I'm sorry.
Does this girl ever not eat something? Every time I talk to you on the phone, it's like salads, gummy bears. What's it going to be next, Jen? Turtle chocolates. Okay.
There we go.
Okay. I like turtle chocolates.
That's
funny. I think it's, I'm just saying that with the situation of jealousy, what are we talking about here? We're talking about people who are jealous of people who are spiritual. Because they don't realize they can be the same as well. They really be envious of other people. Just take a deep breath. I've taken up ibuprofen to sink a battleship, and it's just, this shoulder's driving me nuts. Just the idea of getting people's input on the whole thing. Have you ever had anybody who was jealous because of what you are and who you are and where you're at right now in your life? Yeah, like always. I'm like always. Does anybody have that problem?
And like we want to divert everything to a positive solution. What can you do in situations when people are like that? I mean, can you address them? Or is that or is there a certain time that we have to look at them and let them work through it until they get to a certain point where you can actually sit down and talk to them?
Well, maybe you could just call it like how you see it at the time, you know, of course, with compassion and with respect, and see what they have to say. If they get too emotional or can't talk about it, maybe they need some time to process it and they can talk to you about it later. But I wouldn't hold it inside of you and let it fester and bother you and bring your energy down.
So you should express yourself, correct?
Yeah, that's what I do, but I always get into trouble doing that.
So do I. But I always feel good about it because, I mean, I don't sit there and tell people you should express yourself at the time that you should, you know, you feel it because, and then not do it. So I sit there and live what I practice. So I'm like, okay, you know, I have a person who calls you up and says, I don't, you know, this certain person you're hanging out with, if you want to be with them, then run off with them. I'm sort of going, I don't understand where that's coming from. I don't want to deal with it. And so therefore, this is how I feel about it. And by the moment, I really don't want to deal with it. And I just kind of like excuse myself on the phone. And I go somewhere else and go back into really being, I guess what I'm doing right now. Just trying to find some solutions to the situation because I know I can't do it right now with that person because that person is still stuck in that situation of they're still thinking there's something going on there. So you're really not going to get anywhere. So the only thing you can do is work with yourself. And I always ask the question, what did I do or what's going on in my life that would bring that person in? What is that reflecting to me? You know, what is it something I need to look at myself? So, Amy, you've been in situations like that, too, when you look at yourself, don't you?
Oh, yeah, I always look at myself, yeah. I recently got some hate mail and really, you know, had a whole show about it, actually, and really did look at myself and said, okay, honestly, like, and I asked a couple of people, you know, is this what I'm doing? And I didn't feel it was what I was doing. I felt I was understood, you know. Sometimes when you tell people the truth, honestly, about how you feel, and they don't like it, they could perceive you as being negative or jealous or attacking when all you're trying to do is honestly express your truth.
Right. So that's all you're doing is trying to express. That's how I feel right now. Mm-hmm. So that I'm just saying sometimes you get those people look at you and going, well, I don't think that – what was it? Somebody told me, says, I don't think you're really expressing that way. I'm sitting there going, excuse me? You're telling me how to express myself and you don't express myself that way? I said, maybe you need to take some time and reflect at yourself or even making that statement because that's like a diversion. That's like diverting it from themselves. It's not my fault.
Well, this is a great time to explore that because Aries, we're moving into a new moon in Aries, and Aries is all about power, authenticity. It's like the I am sign, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So you have to watch, you know, because we're in a Mercury retrograde and we're coming into this Aries energy, that you speak your truth and not really worry too much about other people's consent or their approval of what you say. But at the same time, you have to kind of temper what you're saying because that Aries energy is very strong and dominating and powerful, and you want to maybe come forth a little bit extremely.
Mm-hmm.
And during the retrograde, Mercury is all about communication, so communication gets screwed up very easily with this, you know, forceful or aggressive energy coming forth. So, I would just speak your truth, Donnie, and say what you have to say and not worry about, you know, other people and their approval.
Gotcha.
You know, there's power in authenticity.
Well, I was starting to think about the same thing, too, is that the idea of power is, and this could be a good time to take back the power that you've relinquished to everybody else, too, correct? Do you know what I mean? It's like we sit here and get in these situations, and at the time we have a tendency to not speak our mind. Which at that time, I feel like we're actually relinquishing the power to the person by not expressing ourselves and speaking our truths.
I'm sorry, I lost half of what you said.
Oh, my gosh. That's not what I said either. I said, in the process of not speaking your truth and not speaking how you feel, isn't that like relinquishing your power to the other person? And this would be a good time to get that back?
Well, it depends on how you feel about it. Maybe you don't feel like the situation warrants your attention. Maybe you don't want to dignify it with a response. Or maybe you're really upset or hurt by it and you're just bottling that up inside because you're actually a little bit afraid or not in your own power to approach this person and state how you feel, honestly. Okay. So I would really look at, you know, how you feel about it, and then, you know, what's your motive? Like, do you want to resolve this, or do you want to go and tell 10 people about it and never confront the person you have a problem with?
Oh, yes. That's interesting.
I'm always, like, going for the source, you know, going to the source.
Hmm.
I think Jeremy is, too. We were talking about that on that gossip show. Right, Jeremy?
Oh, yes. I don't know. The gossip.
Right.
No, I was. I'm just saying, with the situation at hand, I was talking to Bree about this, and it's like I consider looking at her and say, "Okay, Bree, take it away." Mrs. Jealousy, she doesn't like it. And how do you feel? Next, Maury. So.
Yeah. Next, Maury.
It's not your child. Okay, cool. You're not the father. I love that, man. You're not the father. This guy's living off this stuff, too. I thought it was, you know, like, okay, I wish I could have a show like that, too, man. Not really, but it's kind of interesting. So, Bree, you were talking about
the chemical
show.
Infested piece of carpet in the corner.
There we go.
You are the father.
For all those mutated, fleas out there, it was the carpet chemical. So if you have fleas in your house and they're doing the bomba on your freaking carpet, don't blame yourself. It's that love your carpets, you know, kind of stuff with the chemical. They actually have jumping beans in that freaking chemical stuff. So it's, don't be surprised if you hear this music at 2 o'clock in the morning. Dun 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 dun. Ah, okay. So. Well, I was interested because Bree was expressing herself about how she doesn't like the idea of jealous people because she's experienced it too. And it's like, it does make you feel like, I don't know. I just feel like in some situations you feel helpless because you don't understand it.
Mm.
So go ahead, Bree. Good one.
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah, I just don't like it. It's.
I see. It's really overwhelming.
I just hate jealous people. It's just not right.
Well, I think we have a responsibility to go up to these people and confront them and say, okay, what's your problem with me? Honestly, I'd like to know, because if I've offended you or hurt you in some way, I'd like to know what I did. You know,
right.
And if they can't come up with anything and they don't have, you know, the cojones to say, well, you know, I'm jealous of you, you know, they can't look at you that way anymore because you've already said, okay, so what's your beef? What's the deal? You know, what's the problem? They don't have the, you know, moral fiber to talk about it, and you're off the hook.
Yeah, some people are just not born with a very strong backbone. Which is really kind of funny because I was sharing Thomas before with some of the books I was reading where they were talking about certain people who have certain ailments reflects their personality. And I've noticed a lot of people who have back problems really have a hard time speaking their mind. And I thought that was interesting.
Really?
That you could actually put those two together, yeah.
Hmm.
My ex-fiance, I noticed she had a really bad commitment problem. She had a problem with speaking her mind. She was always hiding behind alcohol. And one day I said, you need to get a backbone. And I started realizing she's got this her back is basically deteriorating. And I've done like tons and tons of healing on her. And for some reason, it just ain't doing anything until I realized the person I'm working with is resisting it. By her actions of who she is, because she just constantly would not commit to anything. She was always angry because she didn't get any commitment back. And I'm just like, okay, you don't get these things if you're not really willing to put yourself into them.
Hmm.
So I used the word by get the balls and do what you want to do with your life instead of, you know, dancing around and complaining about why it's not that way, because the only person who can really change that is you. And she's like, I know that, but what can I do? Okay, I thought I just said, never mind, you know. So you do get a little frustrated with the situation, but she was also very, she didn't like me. She became to a point where she didn't like me anymore because because I live that. I mean, I live this spiritual life. I do things. I focus and I do this kind of work, and I don't hold anything back. And people try to divert me all the time and go, well, I think we should be doing this. And I always say, well, keep thinking, because I'm going to keep doing what I'm going to do, because this is where I feel like I should be at. And she was constantly saying, well, you should change that. You should do other things to make everybody else happy. I'm like, I guess I couldn't be surprised why that by her advice, because that's exactly what she does. So, but I refuse to do that. But I have a person who's jealous of that because they just refuse to live that kind of lifestyle. Not really realizing.
Well, let me ask you a question, Donnie. Yes. Have you confronted this person?
Oh yeah, many times. And then she has a tendency to go get a. She has a tendency to go get a 40. So you know, that's her solution to saying, okay, I don't. You know, I've heard what you said, but and I know what I should do, but I'm not going to. So pass the beer, you know. That sounds like a funny thing, but that's exactly what she does. And then what she tries to do is she tries to get everybody else to come down to her level instead of, you know, striving to be better. She'll sit there and say, well, what I think you should do is I think you should really, if you really love me, you should, you know, enjoy what I enjoy doing, which was basically a ploy to get you to go backwards. And that's what I was saying before when I actually had a chance to get back with her and I was listening to her one day. I was like, I'm not going to do this again. This lady's still 3 years back when we broke up, and she just hasn't evolved or anything. She just refuses to do anything. And I guess maybe in some sense of the word, sometimes assistance can make you too comfortable where you don't take those strides to be better. And that's all I can see. We have a certain person out there, too. I won't mention her name because she might be listening. and she is very opinionated. So we won't start that can of worms going, but... sometimes when I look at assistance, the reason I have a tough time with it because a lot of people will keep that there just in case they fail so they have something to fall back on, not realizing in the process you're setting yourself up for failure because you're telling the universe, I'm going to fail, so I'm going to keep this fair here just in case I do, which I know I am. And then they complain because they can't get anywhere in their world. Because my ex-fiance was like that. She was like, I want so much more. But her actions always, you know, her actions were totally different. And I tried to tell her, I said, well, take a look at yourself. And she's like, why should I do that? Isn't there like a simple answer? Yes, there is a simple answer. I just told you what the simple answer is. Just take a look inside and see what's up. And you need, it's like, I almost sit there and told myself I would never go back, even being, in the sense of the word, of even going and being on assistance because I would live in the streets to go that route. And I hate to say that, but... I just feel like I would find a solution of being in a situation to be motivated to be better than be in a situation where someone's handing me a check all the freaking time. I don't have any motivation. I don't think there's any support to do anything. So, what do you think about that? Oh, sorry, guys.
It's okay.
I'm trying to lose work. I was out the other day, and I'm just like, I usually get crazy with my shoulders. I like having wide shoulders, so I work on that more than I do anything else. And there are some days I have a tendency to go overboard. And 2 days ago, I fell overboard. Literally. So I was like, it's always the right arm. I was like, jeez, man. I'm constantly doing healings and that kind of stuff and putting the energy into my arm and my shoulder. It does work, too. But the Moltren was just calling me. Todd, you know, take me. It'll be over in a second. And that was a lie. I'm just saying, guys, I'm not trying to get down the whole situation. I'm just saying sometimes I do look at situations, the system, that kind of thing, and I look at imbalances and how can we correct imbalances. So I just feel we need to at least look at the imbalances first and get a little foundation on that whole thing and go, okay, what direction can we go in to make it better? And some people think that taking away of the welfare system would put a lot of people in a situation of dire straits. But they don't realize this country at one time didn't have that. And we still made it to this point, you know? So sometimes I'd really go back to that whole point of where it was like that, where people did, you know, there was a lot of motivation to go and be better and to have these things. I mean, people going from eighth grade educations and creating multi-million dollar businesses. you know, because they decided at that moment they wasn't going to feed into the whole thing of saying, well, I came from the depression, but what do you do? I can still have a great life. And they did. And they do. So I was just wondering if anybody else has anybody like that in their lives that would have that kind of motivation for them to do the same.
I know a lot of people that like to live in mediocrity.
Right.
You know, and that's just a waste of human potential, I think.
I think she's talking about me.
No, I'm not.
All I do is make minimal and walk like a penguin throughout the house.
That is so funny, too. I could just picture that, too. Nice pajamas, man. You know?
I had this black hoodie on and stuff, wearing all black, and walked into the room and was just, you know, acting like I had flippers. Amy's like, would you like to fold clothes? No, penguins don't fold clothes. We just wobble.
Yeah, we don't have thumbs.
We live a mediocre life on an iceberg, please.
No, I was thinking, you know, we looked at the situation of a lot of things on this show where we talk about lawyers, and it was my goal really was not to bitch about it. It was the ideal of looking at the situation and their solutions, but no one's actually really putting any solutions into play. But I think there's solutions to anything and everything if we put our mind to it. But some people are just dead bent on saying the system works really good right now. Since when? Okay, that's my opinion, of course. But how could we take the situation, okay, since we are psychics, right? And how could we change that? Is there a way to really, like with a jealous person, is there some way of feeding it, I mean, looking at that person, because we can pick up things with them, to bring it to them so they can actually see it for themselves and go, okay, maybe the idea of being jealous is a little bit ridiculous. How about, what do you think, Amy?
I don't think we're going to change anyone, but I would really, you know, confront them and, you know, not in a harsh way, but honestly, you know, like it's obvious that you have some kind of problem with me. Would you like to tell me what it is? Maybe there's something I can do about it.
Smack. Okay, good.
You know, right. And I would just treat them that way, you know, and if they can't tell me, then, well, it's on them. I'm going to stop paying attention to the dirty looks and the bad behavior because I did everything I was supposed to do. My side of the street's clean, you know. They don't want to take care of theirs. That's their problem.
I also believe that, you know, if a person's jealous, yeah, they'll change their ways for like probably a week if you confront them in that, and then they'll just go back to jealous again. That's just my input.
Wow. Okay, no, that makes sense. No, I understand where you're coming from.
Yeah, like they'll put up front for like a week or so, and then it's back to normal or back to their ways again.
Okay.
But at least for yourself, you can say, you know, I confronted them. I confronted the situation. I was trying to remedy it. I tried to see if I could do anything. They're still jealous. My hands are washed in the situation. I don't have to do anything now. That's just for me. I like doing all I can do so I can live with myself later, you know?
Right. No.
Amy, army of one.
What?
Amy, army of one.
Saturdays at 8:00. Oh, no. Let's see. Area code. Oh yeah, nightly. Well, you could say nightly. I like being nightly. Oh shoot, I just got crazy looking at the situation. Going. Sometimes it's like looking at jealousy and that kind of situation could be putting yourself in the category of abortions. I don't think you could be on either side of that whole situation and not have conflict, you know?
That's right.
So it's like looking at the situation going, do you really want to go with that whole thing? Or are we just going to sit there and go, let people make their decisions, let them do what they're going to do. And then when they decide they want to go to somebody and get some insights to the whole thing, and we just open arms when they do get to that point. Sitting there going over. Oh, area code 903. What do you think?
I agree. Well, it was what I was thinking in my head. How are you guys doing?
All right. How are you guys? How are you?
Good.
There's
I'm
Amy
good.
And Jeremy. Amy and Jeremy and Bree's here today, tonight. So say hi to everybody.
Hello.
Let's all shake hands.
Hello.
I don't think I really don't think you could change a jealous person because, I mean, if they're jealous of you, it's obviously something that you're doing correctly. So, I mean, for me personally, I get a lot of projection my way because, you know, like attracts like, and if you're not like someone, they're going to reject you or repel you or something of that nature. You know, they're not going to like you because you're not like them. So the only thing you can really do is just keep shining your light. I mean, it may piss them off more, but, you know, as long as you're happy, that's all that matters. I give that a lot, yeah. There's nothing wrong with jealous people. I mean, because, I mean, it's really envy. Because jealousy can kill you, but envy is something that can make you better.
Well, that's where they're at on their spiritual level, too. I mean, they have to work through that. That's something about, they're finding out something about themselves. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's like you're a mirror to them.
Yeah, this is what you can be, and that's the truth. You can be, you know, whatever you see, and they just have to realize that. And then it can be, oh, this is like a poetry night.
here's the snapping fingers.
Snapping, yeah, the snapping fingers. So, no, but, yeah, that's kind of crazy. So, no, I was just thinking about the whole thing about jealousy. There's so many levels of jealousy, too. But I really don't want to explore all that. So I was just, you know, kind of looking at the whole thing. Was any kind of solution that, but I guess the only thing we really come up with here is, which is really the realistic way of doing it, is confronting it. And then it's like confronting it and then realizing if it's going to work or not going to work, or you're actually having some kind of leeway here, and then making a decision to walk away. And sometimes that's the hardest thing to do for situations, because we have this situation too. I've had this in a lot of readings where I said, people say, well, the girl calls up, and it's usually a girl. There have been a couple guys when you sit here and look at the situation and go, okay, is this going to work out between me and this person? And then you start realizing, okay, the first thing you come out with is they try to convince you by saying, hey, I love this person. And I think in those situations, there has to be somebody who comes across with the truth and says, okay, you love this person, but look at yourself and the situation. Are you guys together or not? So if you're not together, more than likely you're not on the same level. So look at the situation and what it reflects back to you. But you definitely, you have to put yourself in a state of mind where you can't attach yourself to these situations. So in the process of saying, I need to let go of it, you've attached yourself somewhere. You want me using the word let go of it. And, God, just getting to a point of asking yourself why you have latched yourself onto it in the first place. I think sometimes when we meet people and we get into these relationships, I think we actually see them for what they are. We're just kind of arrogant at the moment, and we get into the relationship hoping we can divert it into what we want it to be, instead of actually being patient enough to open our arms up to something that comes to us. So, does that make sense?
It could be a neediness within yourself.
Right. Trying to discover about oneself, about what's reflecting back. Because, yes, you did put yourself in that situation, and why did you do that? What is it, you know, what do you learn about yourself in that moment? And have you ever caught yourself in a situation of being jealous, huh?
Of being jealous. I really can say I've been jealous of anybody, because I'm the type of spirit that, see, I'm a one life path, so like I'm a leader in myself. So I really, you know, if anybody's doing better than me or doing what I would like to do, then I strive to do that as well. Versus like being negative, because I really don't like negative energy at all. Remove myself from. I'm a loner, by the way. So, and there's a lot of negative people around. But you know, just remove. I remove myself from people who are like that. So when I'm around, when I see people who are where I want to be, I just aspire to be there myself versus gloat and bring myself down. Well, when I bring someone else down, I'm bringing myself down, and I don't want to lower myself to feel better, because that doesn't make any sense. But some people think that it does make sense. Like, if I just talk about this person all day long, I'm just going to feel better about myself without looking at myself and see how I can better myself.
Oh, yeah. I agree with that. I do the same thing, too. It's like looking at the situations, and here's a guy who can bench press 400 pounds. It just like motivates me to do that. Like, my ex-fiance used to be a person where she would say, well, I want to live in a trailer. And I was like, no, I can't do that. And she goes, well, what are you going to do? I said, well, I want a four-bedroom, two-bathroom home. And she goes, oh, really? I said, yeah, it sounds great, doesn't it? So, therefore, let's focus on that. So, before the year was out, that's exactly where we were living. So, what she would do is, and I should say in her negativity, would motivate me to follow through with what I knew I could do. So, I thought it was good. I mean, we probably could have gone a different way and been with a different person to get that kind of motivation of someone being more supportive. But at that moment, it did show me my strength and what I could do. You ever been in a situation like that? I'm sorry, who said that?
Nothing.
Okay. Okay, Amy, you still with us?
Yeah, I'm still here.
All right, she's still folding penguin underwear. I'm just asking questions. Hey, I used to have a girlfriend who used to have penguin pajamas.
Really?
Yeah, they were red, and they had footies. And I thought that was kind of cool. But it was kind of terrible, you know, when you got into those intimate moments. And, you know, never mind. But that was okay. Anyway. But I'm just saying, you know, like we said, we talked about before, we've heard from other people that, for some reason I cannot remember her name, 903,
Gail,
I could see the word, but I couldn't pronounce it for some reason. I always want to say Gloria. Didn't you say you had a sister named Gloria?
No, I have a guy named Gloria, or someone around here does Gloria. But just think of Oprah's friend, I'm Gail.
Gloria? Okay.
Gail.
Oprah's friend, Gail. Okay.
Yeah. Thank you.
No, Amy, I was just wondering, you know, situation of Bree, have you ever been in a situation where you're jealous, or do you, like we said before, do you use that as motivation to better yourself, which you hope they would do themselves?
I've never really actually been jealous.
Mm-hmm. That was deep.
I don't know, me. I don't really get jealous. I take the energy of whatever it is that I want that someone else has, and I apply it to my own energy level and try and get what I want, you know, or what they have. Mm-hmm. I don't look at them and you know, growl at them. It's more like I need to get my butt in gear so I can get this because I want it.
Right.
You know?
No problem. Motivation to manifest. We'll call it MM, motivation to manifest.
Yeah, put it on my new moon collage, and I'm good to go.
Yeah, the new moon manifestation of motivation, or something like that. Anyway, we could go on that and come up with these little phrases. I think it's cool. Yeah, you're right. Put them on the collage and on your focus board and the whole thing, because that's really some strong motivation. Because like we said before, well, I always felt like imagination is the foundation for manifestation, the blueprint. Because I've always been told, if you can imagine it, it exists. So therefore, you're just trying to bring it, open it up to bring it to you. And that makes you feel good. If you can actually imagine it, then it does exist. Then you can just go one step further and be that vehicle to actually manifest that thing into reality. So, go ahead.
Yeah, and just make sure you're mindful of the company you keep, because it'll make it harder. I feel that it'll make it harder to actually manifest what you desire, because if your company is not conducive to your growth, then it kind of stunts you.
Yeah, we've had the same situation too. I was actually telling my earlier, and we've had some other shows where we talked about that. When it wasn't the because people were asking the question. It says that you shouldn't tell anybody when you're in the process of manifesting, and they think it's a secret thing, when all it is more of protection, because you want to focus your energy on what you're manifesting, and if you have other people coming into it who don't believe that or even against it, then you have to deal with that energy. So it's best to keep it clear, so you don't have to deal with those things coming into the situation. And let me see here. Bring a couple more people on. Area code 336. What do you think? and she's moving in here. Anyway. All right. Let's try this one. We'll try area code 551. We'll get a response. I guarantee it. So, 551, you're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Welcome to the table. What kind of a, you know, how do you feel about that manifestation on jealousy? I mean, have you ever been jealous in your life, where you kind of look back on it and, as a learning experience?
I was pretty damn jealous you didn't invite me to the show beforehand. So, yeah, I've been jealous.
Okay.
Nah, I'm not really a jealous person. Not a jealous person at all. I mean, I just, you know, I appreciate what people have, and I'm happy for what people have, and it kind of motivates me. Like, you know, if I see someone successful, I'm not crying over, oh, my God, they have so much more money than me, or they have better clothes than me. I just try to get at their level.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's what I have to do. That's what I'm talking about, too. I had the situations with, you know, of trying to manifest things, people who come in and said you couldn't do it. Well, just a manifestation of saying, okay, I can do this. And maybe I can actually, by doing this, maybe I can also manifest a difference in this person's beliefs, too, at the same time. Because I know I can't make them do them, but I do know the reflection of what I'm doing would probably be, would resonate more and be more powerful if he actually saw it, or her, whichever the case is.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, I don't get jealous. I know a lot of people who are jealous, and you know what? That's their way. I think everybody has a different way of motivating themselves. If someone has to get jealous to motivate themselves, well, then, hey, that's great for them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm not going to judge them for it. Like, be jealous all you want. You know, that's
right.
What works for you.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I'm just saying, I know doing this kind of work and that kind of stuff, you do get kind of caught up in the situation of hoping you can help somebody change. And sometimes I feel like it's one of those things that, you know, when you really are a caring person, you have a tendency not to give up. And you try all kinds of angles to help people come out of those things because you just feel like they would be better and they'd probably have a better life. Even though we know we can't do it for them. Sometimes
yeah.
we do get caught up in that whole thing, you know, saying, oh, come on. Do I have to push you? And then you're thinking, okay, now I'm getting a little out of control here. Has anybody ever got that way? Has anybody ever got to that point where you're like, you caught yourself doing that, you know, and you're like, oh, okay, I can't do this. You know, I'm getting too pushy and I might actually be working against myself in the situation. You know what I mean?
I've caught myself. I had a friend about 2 years ago. He was a very jealous person, and not only that, he had OCD. And I used to see myself going out of my way just to, like, I guess out of spite, just to get him and, you know, try to change the way he was, and he would never change no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I feel like the only people you could change are, like, little kids, you know?
Right.
You teach them a different way. Like, when you're dealing with grown-ups, there's no possible way that you could change them. You just, if they feel comfortable with their lives, you shouldn't try to change them. You know, what you think is better for them might not necessarily
mm-hmm.
be better.
That's true, because you're going from your perception of it, of what you see, and not theirs. And until you learn how to actually walk in their shoes, you really can't do that. I mean, I was telling Bree, I don't know how she feels and the situation she's going through. I mean, I can pick up feelings and that kind of stuff being an empath, but I really don't know how it feels to her. I know how it feels to me, but I can't go any further than that. And I'm saying sometimes we do get caught up in the situations of I can change this or I can do this or that kind of stuff. And the famous line I ever heard was, sometimes we should think about if we should instead of if we can. You know, I can do it, but should I? You know, so should I just stay on the sidelines and let this person work through it? It's like with kids. It's like when you have kids of your own, and there's lessons where you have to let them fall on their own faces to learn how to pick themselves up. And that's a hard thing to sit back and go, I can't do it. But if you feel like you need to do it, that's the whole thing.
Yeah, exactly.
It's the same thing with jealous people and that kind of thing. I think sometimes you got to excuse yourself from the situation and go, okay, there's nothing I can do about it because they're pretty much thinking they're right. And that's their perception until they come to a different perception of actually wanting any kind of help in this situation. So even come to the realization that's what they are, being jealous. Most of them don't even see themselves as being jealous.
Well, see, I think that's just human nature, you know? Like, I wouldn't do something if I think I'm wrong for doing it, you know? And I don't think people do things thinking they're wrong, you know? Everybody always thinks they're right, no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, until someone realizes, wow, you know, I did this and it was pretty wrong of me for doing it, you know, I could tell you, like, for example, Donnie, if you do something that I believe is wrong, I could tell you until I'm blue in the face, you're wrong, you're wrong, you're wrong. You're not going to believe me. You know, you're the one that needs to realize, well, gee, you know, the way I'm acting or what I just did, it's definitely not right. You can't just have someone just come up to you and be like, you're wrong.
Right. You got to come to conclusions. And we all know for a fact that when we go through learning lessons, usually those eureka moments happen when we're alone anyway, but it's usually from something that someone has said to us that we think about it, and we're going, okay, maybe there is some truth in that. And then till we get to that point of actually looking inwards and saying, okay, they was or they wasn't, that's a hard step for some people to take, to actually take that look inside and go, okay, I'm looking for the answers, and I found them, and I wasn't too happy with the whole thing. I mean, I've actually worked with some people. I've actually had a couple of girlfriends where it's like, okay, this is what's going to happen. You really want to work on this thing, and you really want to do this? I said, there are going to be some things that you're not going to like what you feel, and like you're not going to like what you see. And they all kind of like, I'm ready for this. I'm ready for this. And then you get into the situation, they go, and then they get rebellious because they think you're trying to change them. And actually what's going on is they see the change themselves, and they're still fighting it. And that is hard to watch, too, when you're sitting going, they're just this close to really seeing it, but you really can't do anything. Because at those times, those are crucial points that can be really sensitive, that if you really do push the issue, you could actually just push them back even further.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to sit on your hands and go, okay, I can't do anything. I really want to. But like you said, human nature, I think it's just the ideal, if you are a loving, caring person, to see that you just want to do something because you care about them. But that's really hard to say, realize that the decision here is to let them do it themselves, and if they fall on their face, they fall on their face. I can't do anything because that's where they're going to get the strength from, picking themselves up. Even in a situation, smacking you across the face and you're going, okay, they're going to learn something here. And seriously, I was in a situation with a girl who was a drinker, and she slapped me across the face, and it was something came over me and said, just let it go. And that was a hard thing to do. Someone smacks you or hits on you or that kind of stuff, to sit there and go, the best solution here is to walk away and hope they see the error of their ways. But even at that moment, they're still thinking that they had the right to do that. Until they see something else that tells them otherwise, you're going to be, like you said, you're going to be sitting there until you're blue in the face.
Mm-hmm.
See, area code 917, what do you think?
What do you know?
It's Nicole.
It is. I'm in such a goofy mood tonight.
Oh, my gosh.
I've been doing all day long, so my brain has fallen out of my head and is sitting in the corner looking back at me. Yeah.
Oh, really? So, well, Nicole,
yeah,
say hello to everybody. We got Manny, we got Bree, we got Amy and Jeremy.
Hello.
Hi, everyone. I could
see
hi. That room is, like, way full as well. Hello, everybody. Hi.
Hi.
How's it going? Still a little loopy tonight.
Really?
I'm Gail, by the way. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm sorry. Gail's here,
oh.
too. Smack me.
Really? Really nice to meet you, Gail.
Hi.
Yeah, hello. And Amy. Hello. Hey, Amy.
Hi. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Good,
thanks.
Nice.
No, don't
yeah,
even
that
ask
was
me.
A very interesting conversation. Sorry. Donnie, how are you?
I'm kidding, but thank you. we got Sabri. Who's Sabri? Brainwashing. Some of the comments, there's somebody in the chat room is Sabri, I think it's called. And she's got this thing where it says brainwashing?
That's a good one right here.
Illuminati.
Okay. And then there's, I don't know. I was just sort of looking at that going, no explanation, but, you know, I heard, you know, it's like some comments I've heard the other day. I mean, shoot, what was the one? I was actually working on another psychic line, and somebody came in the chat and said, all Americans are stupid.
Oh.
And I said, really? And I said, so you've met every American in the United States. And the person was like, all Americans are stupid. You guys are all arrogant. You think you know everything. I said, that's because we do. You know? And it was like, this person come back, and then all of a sudden, there was nothing. And I was like, okay, that's kind of crazy. Huh?
Where were they from?
The UK.
Well, no. Manning, you see, now you're just falling into the trap of the same one. There's no aha to that. You'll get the same statements from Canadians. You'll get statements like that from the French. You'll get statements like that from the Spanish. It's an individual. It's not everybody. I have friends of mine.
Well,
I have two friends that came from the UK that weren't like that.
I have family in the UK, and they hate me.
Yeah, the whole entire world sees Americans as stupid for the simple fact that we're so insular. Like, there's not many people in the United States that go travel abroad because they either go to another state. But people all over the world, even a third world country, they accumulate enough money to travel around the world to understand the culture. But like here, you're like, okay, I don't care if it's a melting pot with all these cultures, you speak English and not giving respect to their culture and where they're from. And they're giving a YouTube video, and they were asking random Americans, like, simple questions, and they couldn't answer it. But when it came to war, they're like, oh, yeah, we should blow this one up and that one. They were very knowledgeable about that. But when it came to, like, name a country that starts with a U, they couldn't understand that United States of America starts with a U, but they were like, oh, I don't know. So, I mean, that's why they – and even Australians think that as well. But I get along very well with foreigners, and they're very surprised when they meet me and then they meet another American. Like, oh, shit.
Can you actually say it in the air? Okay. I'm just saying. And then there was another person. You got different cultures, and I had another person came in one of these. I can't remember where this one came from. I think it was actually in the chat room the last week where someone came in and said that you do the devil's work. And I'm sitting there going, I'm doing the devil's work. I said, okay, let me explain it to you. I said, I can't imagine the kind of work that I do that I'm actually, in some sense of the word, proving to people that God exists. I can't imagine the devil being behind that and saying, okay, God exists and we all should all go back to God. I think it would be, you know, it's the kind of thing I told her. I said, you ever heard the word duality? And she's like, yes. What's that got to do with anything? Well, I think there's good psychics and bad psychics and good doctors, and there's bad doctors and bad doctors.
So in essence, you have stupid people and you don't have stupid people.
Exactly.
You know, and it doesn't matter where you're from.
And this person's saying, you're a witch. I said, I do not write a broom. But it's just so funny that people would just throw comments out to you. And as soon as you come back with something really, really, I guess really thought about and say, okay, this is what I think, this is what's going on. I love what I do. I love the perfect people I work with. I love people who come back and say, man, thanks for changing my life, and we got all this stuff going on. I just can't imagine the devil back here going, good work, you know, and just can't see that. I just can't see it happening. And I've had so many people that call themselves Christians, but they're so angry.
Amen.
Angry and hateful, you know, and sitting there going, okay, where's the love? Because that's all we talk about the light and that kind of stuff, but the one thing I like to focus on is the idea of when we're working with people, the one thing reason we do this kind of work is because we really want to help people. We don't want to sit there and divert them to spirituality. It's just the idea of seeing people hurting and being in these certain situations or being jealous or whatever they are and trying to bring something different to where they can look at it in a different perspective and say, okay, that's not a loving way to do that, and how can I be more loving? And that's what we're trying to do. Because we've been there. We've done these things, and we don't, you know, some of us don't like what we saw. So we changed it and said, okay, no, let's try to figure out something that's really loving and caring and nurturing to help other people. And then we have other people come into that whole mix and go, we don't like what you're doing. And it's,
I told this one, my biggest thing came to this one guy, I said, why don't you go home and suck on your mom's breast, okay? And they're like, it's like, what? I said, well, you know, if you're going to sit there and do that whole thing, you know, like we've had certain people that have a tendency to do readings with them and they don't give you a chance to respond and say, okay, this is the way life is. That is still another person's perspective that they're trying to push over on top of somebody. I just feel like I don't do that. I swear I don't. I mean, I look at people and go, hey, you know, be who you are. Do what you want to do. Even if, you know, if you go out there and you shoot somebody, you know, it's like, what can I do? That person is who they are. And some people think, well, you should have stood in front of the bullet. How do I know I'm not diverting something from happening at that moment? It's all happening for a reason. Now, I mean, I'm not saying I wouldn't or would. I'm just saying in certain situations, if you, you know, sometimes it didn't come to me to do that. Wow. It's like, okay, it's really quiet.
Oh, I'm having a eureka moment.
You're nodding. Eureka. I'm like, yeah, that makes sense.
I'm just saying, you know, it's like all this craziness, and the one thing I really strive on when I do these shows is the ideal, how can we actually find a positive outcome to these things? And the only thing I come up with realistically, it's so simple, is just learn how to love. And that's the thing. And I think that would solve so many things if people would just take that look at that and go, how can I give a service? And actually giving service is the ideal of spreading love itself. So that's what I think anyway. What do you guys think in the, we should say the council, everybody at the table, what do you think? And we actually have somebody here too, area code 415. How are you today? How are you tonight?
I'm good.
Good morning.
Thank you.
So as you're sitting here listening to all this going on, what do you think of yourself? Or what do you think of the situation? Or did you call to just ask a couple questions to some of us who are psychics?
I actually did call for some psychic advice, if possible.
Okay, no problem. So who wants to go first? So what kind of question
what's
would you
question?
Like to
ask?
And what's your question? Just ask a question.
I'm going through some stuff with my husband right now.
Mm-hmm.
It just seems like we're going back and forth and back and forth, and I feel like I'm starting to lose my mind over it. Where, like, just some stuff has happened, and I've caught him in a lot of lies, and I just feel like he's pushing me away. And I've discovered, you know, friends that he's had, that he's developed relationships with, that he claims is just friends, but I'm just wondering if you could pick up on anything, like...
Let me ask you a question real quick.
Really...
Let me ask you one question.
Yeah.
With the situation, you say you feel like he's pushing you away. You sure you're not walking away one step at a time because of things that he's actually doing and the things that you actually know?
Partially, yeah. But I only know half-truth, and that's what the hard part is for me.
Yeah, but see, half-truths are still lies. And that's the key about looking at the situation, because it's like I keep picturing with you where you're sitting there going, it's like you already know what you need to do, but you're looking for ways, you're looking for little hooks to keep it. But deep inside your gut, you're sitting there going, I just need to walk away.
Mm-hmm.
I keep seeing the word freedom. I need freedom because I feel like this man is beating me down, and I actually used to be this tall, and now I'm shorter. You know, something like that. Anybody, Amy?
I've already read for this caller. She, I think, called my show maybe a couple months ago.
Possibly.
I'm pretty sure. Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Wasn't there someone that your husband was involved with from a dental office or something you were asking me about?
Wow. Yeah, actually, I found out that he wasn't involved with her. It's his best friend's girlfriend. It's really weird how that all worked out.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really strange.
I remember you mentioning that or asking about that. I don't remember what we said, but I do remember the gist of the reading was that you already know enough half-truths or enough truths to make a decision, and I think we were saying that, you know, there's not going to be much change to your situation. So, but I understand it's a hard thing, too, coming to that point where you're
trying to make a big decision. It's difficult.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, yeah. It's like we sit down, we talk, and, you know, I'm sorry, I love you, and then some more stuff comes up, so.
I like how you said that, too.
I agree with Donnie and Amy as it relates to that. I do feel that it's important for you to walk away. But what I'm being led to tell you is that before you can walk away, you actually need to write it down and see it on paper for yourself. And essentially what I mean is you need to look at the relationship in black and white. And I know that's really hard to do because your emotions are very strongly involved in it, but you need to almost look at it as the pros and the cons of this relationship and writing that information down. Ask yourself mm-hmm. what you want out of a relationship and then see what you are receiving and what you're not receiving. And ultimately, I think you're going to see that his actions and his words don't match up. This is going to be time. You're going to have to plan how you're going to move from this relationship. I don't think it's something that's going to happen overnight. I think you need to give yourself at least a few months to think it through and figure out how you're going to transition and move out of it. But I agree with them. I do feel that you need to move forward. And you can really start that today by actually writing it down and putting it on paper.
Let's see. What do you think, Bree? She's not there. Okay, she is
I'm
there.
I'm here. I can't pick up on anything. Sorry.
Okay. Oh, no, don't apologize. You don't, you do, you do. You know, that's the way it works. Let's see here. I'm just, you know, the thing I pick up the most here is the idea of, that you're still thinking the same thing. And you're using that as an excuse, saying, I love him, instead of looking at for what it really is. And it's like one of those things that's very hard to do, but you got to look at the situation of when you're sitting there and you're sitting there talking to him, it's what you feel, especially when you hear him say things to you that, in some of the words, kind of, this is why I saw very clearly that you're sitting there listening to him tell you, I'm sorry, I love you, and then you sort of look at the situation and going, God, I just don't like him anymore. But you're not listening to that part. You're thinking, okay, I love him. And then you're saying, I need to do that. Because I'm a loving, caring person. So almost like the sense of the word, if I do anything bad to him, that makes me a bad person. Ouch. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it really does.
I also get that, you know, I just looked at it real quick. It's almost like you're alone anyway right now. So you might as well... You know what I mean? Move forward, because what I'm getting is the situation's at a turning point right now. There's so much heartache and heartbreak involved here. It almost looks to me like you're alone anyway. You come up alone.
Yeah.
So I would consider that.
Yeah.
Like, what are you afraid of losing? You really don't, and I don't mean to criticize or to condemn your relationship, but it doesn't look like you have much to begin with anyway. Not to say you don't have feelings for him and that you don't love him, but when it comes to the content or substance of this relationship, there's not much at all, you know?
Yeah.
I think what it is right when she's about to walk out the front door, he pulls her back in and tells her how much he loves her. And so she's like, oh,
yeah.
I have this love now. And then and he just wants her to be there. It's like, oh, we're married, so this is my woman. I can treat her however I want to. And then, you know, give her this loveless relationship until he shows her just like a minute piece of his heart, and then she stays. But I feel like you're wise enough. It's imminent. I mean, I feel you're going to wisen up pretty quickly. You could put your foot in his ass and see, and you know, tell him how you feel and tell him, you know, this is this way or no way at all. And then go about your business and do it that way. But I feel like the obstacle you're having right now is doing it on your own. Like you're dependent on him in some way.
Yeah.
And so once you realize, okay, well, if, you know, I have the love that I can tell you this. All the love in the world that you need right now is within yourself. So look for that and find it. And when you look at him, you'll see that he cannot love you the way that you love yourself already. And that'll give you the motivation to move forward. Because right now you're basically putting shackles on your own feet. You have the key to the shackles to take them off, but you choose to keep them on because you hear like these little whispers of the good sex or whatever it may be. And then for a short while, and then you're still hurting though.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it used to be happy, but now it's not. You're coming to your senses. And it's actually going to work out well once you figure out what you want to do and how you're going to tell them and all this stuff. It's going to work out perfectly. I mean, you're going to be able to create your own future. You know, the future looks bright for you, so I wouldn't worry about, like, how am I going to do this? Of course you're going to, you know, you may stumble a little bit, but that's life. And mm-hmm. you have your own path without a burden, which is unhappiness, which is him, because you've already had this reading before. And you know this already, but you're unsure because probably a month after you had that reading, you know, something good happened. And now you're like, why the fuck am I doing this? But, you know, you'll figure it out, and once you do, it'll be all good.
I can hear the beep, 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 beep. Okay.
Oh, excuse me. Late night talk.
Right. No,
thank
no.
you very much. Like all of you, really. Sorry. It is true. I did know all of that, and I do know all of it, and I feel all of it. But
mm-hmm.
I just need to hear it, I guess.
I was going to ask Manny. Manny, you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Would you have anything to add to that?
Well, basically, the only thing I have to say is, like, how many times can you forgive someone, you know, if it keeps happening and happening? You know, I was messing around with the cards over here, and I just feel like you're crying out for help, and you're trying to get his attention. You want him to change so badly, but, like, his back is completely, like, turned away from you. Like, you know, he's going full steam ahead of what he wants to do, and, like, you know, your feelings are not being accounted for. You know, your words... He stands there and he says, oh, you know, baby, I love you. I'm going to change whatever. But he doesn't do anything to change it. And, you know, the only question I have for you is, you know, how many times can you forgive someone until it's enough? I can't tell you that. You know, nobody over here could tell you that. You're the only one that can answer that.
And on that note, so with the situation of respect, too, I think, you know, the best thing to do in the situation is you disrespect yourself a lot and you're kind of angry with yourself, too, that you feel like you should have left a long time ago. And then you're right, he pulls you back in and you kind of kick yourself. So it's one of those things of this is a time to do that. Get that self-respect back and respect yourself enough to say, okay, the best thing to do in the situation is to walk away. And you've been.
I just wanted to ask. I'm sorry, Donnie. I didn't interrupt you. Go ahead.
No, it's okay. It was just I just feel like she needs to do that. So go ahead, Amy. I'm sorry.
I just wanted to ask the caller a question. We talked probably like 2 or 3 months ago, and I wanted to ask you, like, has anything gotten any better since the 2 or 3 months ago when you called my show and got read? Like, has anything dramatically shifted or changed? Because I would really think about that, you know, that the time frame that's going by here, you don't want to waste too much time because the more time you wait, the more it's going to be harder to get up and leave. You know what I mean? Has much changed?
Mm-hmm.
I think you're waiting for something to change, and when I look at him, he just looks like I'm carefree, I'm a bit reckless, I'm not thinking about consequence, I'm in the moment, I'm doing what makes me happy right now. I'm not even thinking about 4 steps down the road. So I would just be careful, because you're dealing with someone who's very likely to step on your toes and continue to hurt you until you step out of the way.
Oh, sure. I got
is
the
she
end.
Still there?
That's a good question.
I don't know. I might have lost her.
No, she's not there. She must be okay. I mean, aww. I feel like there's a lot of things going on there too. But I think a lot of it was resonating and saying, okay, all the things that we were saying were definitely hitting her and helping her understand. So.
Yeah, it's just you know, it's a case of two people that have. It's a case of two people that have grown apart, and there's a part of him that loves her, and there's a part of him that, you know, looks at her as not being conducive to his lifestyle. So it's a growing apart. It's very classic, and you know, there is a side of him that does love her, but there's a side of him that wants to be free, and it's not in the sense that I think that this man is trying to be selfish. It does appear to be that on the surface, but it's a little more complicated.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, therefore, there's a side of him that does gravitate toward her out of love. There's a side of him that does not gravitate toward her out of other pursuits that he has grown from her with. So that's
right.
What I'm seeing in the entire situation.
No, I'm just saying with the situation, when I look at it, too, I'm not really denouncing him as a person. I'm just saying she needs to really focus on herself.
Yeah,
she's really focusing on how he feels and using that as a direction of what she should do with her life when she should be looking at her own feelings and what she really wants to do.
I can't agree with you more.
Yeah, with this situation, she has to realize one thing. Someone's going to get hurt, and it's just, you know, by making a decision, it's going to happen that way. She just needs to make that decision. That's what I was saying. I got this realization where she already knows what she needs to do. It's just the idea.
That's why I asked her. I'm sorry.
No. Okay.
What a change, you know, in between the readings. Has anything gotten any better? Has anything turned around? Is anything different, you know? And the time will just keep going by that way unless you decide to make a change for yourself. He's not going to change, so you have to.
Mm-hmm.
You can't change what he's doing, but you can change your reaction to what he's doing.
Well, exactly. And that's the whole thing, yeah. I think in some sense of the word, too, we fall into these things and we just keep going along what we think the other person should do. And that's why it keeps getting the way it does. Or we feel confused. That's just what she said. I feel confused. I don't know what to do in this situation. Where when I picked up on the whole thing, I didn't pick up the confusion part. I feel like it was one of those things I feel confused because I don't want to do what I know I need to do.
Yeah,
so just stay and hang out in the confusion part and go, I don't have to make a decision until I get past the confusion. Mm-hmm. So
one thing I think we have to keep in mind is self-worth and self-respect, you know, as men and women. We need to remember that if someone's not treating us right, we have an obligation to ourselves to respect ourselves if the other person isn't,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Yeah,
that way,
yeah.
You know, you can look in the mirror and not feel like, you know, a schmuck who is putting up with bad behavior, who is powerless to do anything about it, who is afraid to leave. You know what I mean? Like, it's nice knowing you can look in the mirror and respect yourself and say, well, I didn't put up with that. I'm worth more than that. You know? That feels really good.
Mm-hmm.
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 Yeah, it is
no,
true.
Yeah.
That's what I got huge from that caller was unconditional love. That was really important for her to think about.
Yeah.
And you know, I feel like maybe when it comes to her self-worth, that's not really something that she's considering right now. I think we all get caught up in that sometimes, you know, though. I can look back on times in my life where I'm like, what was I thinking? But I did it anyway.
yeah.
And so looking back, I have to ask myself, and I think that was something at the time I wasn't really considering. I was just, you know, sort of going autopilot.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we're also talking about the situation of right and wrong. I don't think there really is a right or wrong decision. I think it's you choose a path and you go down there and you learn something. You know,
mm-hmm.
you can look at it because I've had that debate so many times. Well, you made a wrong choice, and sometimes it's kind of hard to sit here and say to somebody you made the wrong choice when I'm trying to say, you know, you should have rethought this before you went down this path. But you definitely learned something from it. Some people say, well, there's definitely good and evil. I said, yeah, there definitely is good and evil, but we're not saying that. We're saying every choice that you make, it is a choice of the path that you go down. What did you learn? Because I've had a lot of readings I've done for people who freak out and say, I just wasted 10 years of my life. And I feel like I think it's an obligation to point out to them, no, you didn't, and to go back over and do a life review. What did you learn from those 10 years? It could be simply, maybe you're hard-headed and it took you 10 years to realize you needed to leave a relationship that maybe was over in 4 months, you know? Because we've actually had readings for those. Amy can vouch for that. We've done readings for people who've gotten married 4 months into it and they realize they made the wrong choice. And they think they have to stay there because that's what they've been taught. You know, you got married, so their punishment here for making such a bad decision is you got to live with it for the rest of your life. And I think that when it's pointed out to you that you made a mistake, why would they point out a mistake if you couldn't correct it? So the situation is say, okay, you realize that the person you're with is not the person you're supposed to be with because it's just something about, I don't know what it is, it could be whatever it is. But that realization is happening for a reason. And I think you need to listen to that. Whew, let's see here. So anybody else have anything else you want to ask? We're all psychics, but at this time we're also people of who live on this planet who might have questions. Well, that was hard to get out, wasn't it? Who might have some questions that the rest of us could answer. So does anybody have any questions? I feel like it's King Arthur at the round table. Do you have any questions?
I kind of have a question, but I kind of already know the answer. At the same time, I'm still curious to see what other people would say.
Not too bad. But go ahead and ask your question.
My question relates to my love life, which is just amazing. Oh, my God. But no, actually, it does relate. It actually it relates to someone that I kind of like, and I'm not seeing this person officially. But, you know, I have some vibes about the situation, but I'm wondering maybe what other people are picking up about this person.
It may not be a relation yet. That's what I was saying.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
How about you, Amy?
I just need their name to pull them in.
Okay. Is it all right if I give you an initial?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Now, maybe, so his given name starts with an M.
Well, you won't be disappointed.
Oh, really?
Well, that came out of nowhere, didn't it?
That's
hello.
Good or bad. Hello.
Hello, gentlemen. I freaking high when she said that. You won't be disappointed.
Well, I don't know about that. I got that he's going through a little bit of a financial situation right now, which makes him a little bit scattered.
I can see that.
Energy. Yeah, it just looks a bit unstable, you know, like spread too thin.
Okay.
And he's got a lot of worries on his mind. Now, the way that they're telling me he processes these worries is a little bit of a problem for him because I see someone taking something little and then thinking about it and overanalyzing it and blowing it up into something huge and then, like, freaking yourself out about it. So he's got some real hardcore stuff on his mind right now. I just see even problems with sleep. When I look at how he feels about you, he knows that you're digging him. He does feel in control of this situation, but what he's saying is right now we're in a stalemate or like a deadlock situation. I'm kind of turning my back on the emotions, you know, and I'm just acting like it's not there right now because of all of this other stuff I have going on.
Mm-hmm.
So let's see what's going to happen. Look at that.
That makes sense. I would concur with that.
Okay. Let's see what's going to happen between the two of them.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God.
Oh, boy. Here we go. Oh, boy.
Let's see. What's going to happen? What's going to happen? All right, let's just see. Okay. I get that, you know, he's very self-focused right now. Not to say selfish, but he's pretty much trying to do what's best for him. He's got himself on his mind big time. So what they're saying is he's going to hold back, actually, because he feels to a certain degree like you're going or expecting to go one way and he's going another. So he's saying, I'm going to hold back. I'm not going to move forward towards her in that way. I'm just going to kind of do what's best for myself instead of making a choice with regards to her. He's avoiding a relationship, they're saying, too.
Say that again?
He's avoiding a relationship right now.
Yeah, he is. So am I, strangely, too. It's weird. It's like,
okay.
I want it, but I don't want it, so I just don't want it, if that makes sense.
No, that doesn't make sense at all, but that is...
I understand that.
I know. It's a little... Yeah, that does make sense, actually. It does. It does make sense, yeah.
It makes sense, but then again, I don't approve of it, okay? We'll go that route. It makes sense.
You have
something that's right there. It's really good for you, and you're like, this is just too damn good. No way. I'm not taking it. So I'm just saying.
Well, no. I mean, I understand what she's saying as well, because I kind of, I mean,
I feel that energy too. I feel like there's one foot in the door, then there's one foot back. There's one foot in the door, then there's one foot back. So it's never, isn't necessarily pinned down on anything.
Mm-hmm.
But I do sense that in a way that the relationship might actually go further than either one of us expects. Just not right now. But,
okay.
Yeah,
I also wanted to clarify what I was saying. I said you won't be disappointed because there's choices available to you and to him too. I do see like there's a lot of money around him, like as far as working, and he has a heart, like he wants love and he wants work. I don't see him balancing that, so I mean I feel like that's what he's focused on. But I still feel like you won't be disappointed because you have choices. You have something else available versus him, but for him it's wanting, I guess, work.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, he's unclear about that. He's unclear. He wants a relationship, but he's unclear about. But he definitely wants to have a new beginning financially.
Oh.
Oh well.
Because
so
I think
you
wouldn't be disappointed. I'm sorry.
Okay.
You see this? Then to me, so badly for him, I would want that financial thing to improve for him. You do see that kind of improving for him?
Yeah, but, you know, he has to, yeah, I do see that. I see a new beginning for him, but he's unsure about relationships.
That makes sense. As long as he's happy.
That's it.
Yeah.
Happy, yeah.
He's keeping his options open.
Mhm. Yeah, I'll say something real quick. It's like 3 minutes and 3 minutes left on the show. I just wanted to turn and say, hey guys, you know, if you want to donate to the show, great. And for the people who have donated to the show, thank you very much. And yeah, I guess it's one of those things. Donate to buy the new mic. I can say it. The new headset to make things.
I don't think they heard you when you said that.
Yes. So like I always say, you know, it's one of those things, make it simple, give love where love is given, and donate to the show, help us keep going. And like I said before, thank you for everybody out there who has donated to the show. It's really appreciated, and thank you for your support. And anybody else have any more questions they want to throw out to us? There's a caller in here I'm not too sure about. I wanted to ask. Area code 215. I'm not sure if you wanted to ask a question or anything, but just ask anybody who's in the queue in case we didn't get to you. And I guess that's... I'm just listening, honestly. How about area code... Yeah, I can't even say it. Area code 336. How are you tonight? Man, I'm going to sit here and take it as I'm doing fine. Okay. So, yeah, we love the listeners. They, you know. So, anybody else have any more questions? Like, you know, throw it out there. How about you? Okay, Gail, what do you see for my financial? Well, and here's I always get crazy when people ask this question myself. But will I ever find that significant other, my twin flame? Dun, 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 dun.
Well, finances are your twin flame, babe.
I can only have one or the other?
Well, if you want both, well, usually.
Well, you know,
pick one. You want money or love. No,
well, I guess
I'll do your love.
Okay.
Oh, man.
Oh, I wanted to ask Amy a question real quick, too. I ran out of checks today, so I never got a chance to write my new moon check. Can I just basically create a check and do the same and have this, you know, kind of does the same thing, doesn't it?
I don't see why not.
Okay. There's actually a site you can go to, this thing called The Secret, I think it is, and they have a section where it's called the Abundance Check, where it's actually a check that you can actually print out.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So you sit and write it out, and you write basically what you write on is what you want. That was Jack Canfield did something where he took a dollar bill. And he took a magic marker and made a $100,000 bill out of it and focused on making $100,000 that year. And it was really cool because he went from making $8,000 that year to making $93,000. So he wasn't going to sit there and say it didn't work because he didn't get to $100,000, but he definitely got an increase, and that was the whole point, you know?
Right.
So he said, try
That's
it.
Awesome.
Yeah, it was. And the following year, he actually his editor actually wrote him a check out. Well, actually, the company he was working for wrote him a check out the following year and actually put a smiley face on the check when he did it. It was the very first check that the publishing company had actually written out for $1 million.
Wow.
Are you waiting for money to come to you?
Am I waiting for money to come to me?
Yeah. I mean,
well,
are you expecting money to come to you? Is either you're waiting, is money either coming to you, or is it, did you keep asking for money, like your donations, keep asking for that, and be patient?
Yeah.
I mean, maybe slightly disappointed about the amount you get, but don't worry about it. You're worried a lot about it, like that's on your head a lot. But I would say don't worry about that, but you may be slightly disappointed as far as like the amount you get, but you should expect money to come to you. Presently, you're in a bind financially. I would say to be moderate with your spending and also with any I guess your negative thinking.
Thank you.
Make sure you keep that in moderation.
Because
you came from
right
a part.
Okay. I'm just kidding.
You came from a troubling time, but you moved away from that. But now you're having obstacles as far as indulgence and or overspending or bills.
Okay, because I was sitting, I got money coming from Keene, which I thought was going to be here today's Friday. I was hoping to be here today, but no later Monday. I wonder if I can actually talk to the company I'm buying this computer through, that they would actually give me till Monday, because I know for a fact I'll be there Monday. What do you think about that? That's a pretty direct question if I've ever heard one.
Yeah, I would say you expect that money from King, although it probably won't be the enough to cover what you're looking to cover.
Okay. Well, I think it's going to cover. I think that's one of those things that new. I mean, I can actually take that money and kind of like do it the way I want to do it, where it will cover. It's something for how would you put this? It would cover things and give me at least enough breathing room until something else came in to cover the rest of it.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't you agree?
I would say be patient with the other amount, with whatever else you need to cover. Because I still see that you should be moderate with your funds.
Oh, I mean, I'm
and the obstacle
right.
is actually getting more work.
Okay. What was it about? More work? I'm getting more work, or more of it's more work is coming to me? Whew.
You're looking for more work to come to you, but that's an obstacle, and that's probably the disappointment.
Oh, okay, so I should just kind of like relax and let it go, huh?
Yeah, because you're worried sick about it, and don't worry so much about it. I mean, keep worrying about it. I think you told me this the first time I ever called you. The more you worry about it, the more you slow it down, so don't worry about it.
Oh, I'm good at giving
advice. And just know that you're going to get...
I said I'm good at giving advice. It's like the idea I knew I had to slow down and actually listen to it because it actually reflects what I'm going to do. Because I was like, I ran out of checks, and I know if I order more checks, that's going to be like a couple weeks. So I'm like, what can I do? And then that did pop in my head to say, okay, maybe I should just make one. I actually knew a guy who wanted to make $1 million a year. So what he did was, to get the visual going, he actually took paper and made $1 million out of paper money. And it was really because it was a lot of focus on it and everything like that. And, you know, it was one of those things, like we said before, at the end of the year, he made close to that. He didn't make the whole million, but he did definitely have a definite increase in what was going on in his life at the time. And that was, I think that's the most essential thing that could really drive you to going, okay, let's do it again. And this, you know, trying to hit that goal. I didn't hear anything about no love life. Does that mean there's because there isn't any?
Yeah, let me flip a card for you. I was wanting to do one at a time because the spread I do, I like to focus on one issue at a time versus everything at once because...
That's fine. Yeah, that's fine. A lot of people can actually focus and multitask on a lot of things, but people have different ways of doing things. I definitely agree with that. So stick to your guns, and that's how you do it. Because I also look at my card, and all I keep saying is harmony. And when I was talking about, when I focus on higher medium spiritual growth, it's just the idea of realization.
When are you planning on moving back to where your fund is taking you?
Oh, Colorado?
Yeah.
I actually had a friend of mine who called me up in the middle of the night, well, actually in the middle of the day, and said, I had a vision about you, and I was like, okay. She said, I see you going back to Colorado before June. And I was like, oh, really? She goes, yeah. She said, somebody that you had done work with a couple months prior is going to contact you, and because they were going to Colorado too, and then she wants someone to go with her to drive out there with her, and that's how you're going to get there. Because she said you're looking for a way, and it's going to open up. But she said let it go too.
Mhm. Because I see that, well, as far as our love life, I feel that the place where you have the best probability of finding that when you move and separate yourself from. Are you still talking to your fiance, or are you still your ex-fiance, or anyone that you're connected to?
Well, there was Shannon I was talking to, lives in Pennsylvania. My ex-fiance lives in, I think she still lives in hell, but
next to most of the people I used to know. No.
I'm just saying, the last time I talked to her, it was nothing but, my back is going out. I have MS. I'm sitting going, okay. I even asked myself when I was listening, why am I still listening? I was trying. Sometimes we do get caught in those things when people sit there talking about these things. We keep hearing the word, we keep hearing the initials BS. This is BS. But I still listen because I just couldn't have on her.
Mm-hmm.
But I've actually had two people, I think, tell me they saw my ex-fiance coming back in the picture, and to be aware of that. And then I have not heard anything good about Shannon. Which I, for some reason, I think I should start listening to that, because it's been nothing but one procrastination after another. And it was just like I said before, I should listen to it too and myself, because for some reason, underneath the surface, I just don't trust her. And I've never really had that with anybody where I just didn't trust them right off the bat, you know?
Mm.
So there has to be a reason.
Yeah, I see that it's not, I don't feel like it's anybody that you used to date or were engaged to. So I guess you actually separate yourself from them. And especially when you move, you'll feel that you'll have a better opportunity financially and in a romance.
Freedom.
It's a new beginning. I see you working towards that. I don't feel like it's going to be like a sudden change. I guess that's what she said. It'll probably like be in June or so. It's not going to be right away. But when you do move, I feel that there will be a chance for a romance there in Colorado.
Colorado. Hoo, hoo, hoo. Yeah. Colorado is where it's at. Yeah, because I was actually trying to visualize that too. You know, I know the visualization, that kind of thing. And I've been there before, so I felt, you know, this time I could go out there. I know exactly what to do, where to go. A friend of mine told me that she felt like I might not have the same shop I had before when I left Colorado, but I was sitting there focusing on the one I had before that. Now that might happen, and I was looking forward to that because that is a cute place. They call it the Fairy Castle, so it, you know, kind of fits with the thing with fairies and angels and that kind of stuff. And it's right on the main track, right on the main street. And if you ever watch the Travel Channel, when they have the 10 most haunted places in America, you'll actually see Manitou Avenue, which is going through Manitou Springs. Because Manitou Springs, Colorado, is actually in the top 10 most haunted places in Colorado. We actually have, they call them the coffin races. And how that came about was the coffin races came up because there was a lady named Elizabeth. She was buried up on the first ridge. But we had a big old storm out there and some flooding, and her body was actually washed. Because back in the 1800s, you could bury anybody anywhere. You didn't have the things we have today where you have to have the whole thing, the vaults and stuff. So she was buried up on the first ridge, and her body got washed down to the main street. So her coffin and everything got washed down there, and they took it out of the whole thing. And something spawned out of the whole thing was called the coffin races they have every October. So it's kind of a cool town. They also have a thing called the Little Mardi Gras, and it's just a crazy town. They have all kinds of stuff. It was built back in the early 1800s, about a little bit before 1872. It's got some nice stuff going on.
So, I mean, I'm just saying, if you ever watched the, if you ever watched that, you'll see the shop that I had, because it's right there on the main stretch. Both of them were right across from each other. And I'd love to have you. It's just the idea of having a shop again. It'd be great. If I don't, you know, if it doesn't happen with those two, I just keep seeing, I do see the first one. Because I, you know, I don't know. I just, for some reason, I felt like I was there before. Another lifetime. Because it's always felt like home to me. So what do you think?
Yeah, I feel like you'll have better opportunities. Yeah, I feel like you'll have better opportunities there. I saw, well, I just closed the cart, but I saw a new opportunity, new beginnings financially for you whenever you move, because that was like the action plan. The action plan was actually traveling. The outcome was a disappointment. I feel like, I mean, I don't know how crazy you are, because some people do the same stuff and expect a different result. But if you're planning on trying to talk to, you know, the same person, you know, that you already tried it and it didn't work, you tried and failed, don't try it again, because, I mean, you're just going to bump your head again. And I would suggest, because, you know, negative energy rubs, I mean, any type of energy rubs off on you. And it's easier to let that energy come to you when you're used to it.
And what's that from?
I'm sorry?
Is that from somebody that I was just recently involved with?
Well, the one that wasn't, the one, yeah, I guess the one you said that complained all the time.
That's my ex-fiance.
Nothing but like an energy, a psychic vampire.
Yeah, that was my ex-fiance, yeah.
Yeah, her. So if she tries to come back in, just be wary of that. I'm sure it's not going to be overnight, because I know you guys have a history.
A history, yeah.
Yeah, but I would be very optimistic about your opportunities when you move back to Colorado, because I feel like your opportunities will begin when you move. But there's a separation involved.
A separation?
Yeah.
There's a separation that happens in the process of moving out there?
Yeah.
So leaving people here in favor of a new life, you know. That makes sense, doesn't it?
Yeah, you can't make new wine with old wineskins.
Oh, I've tried.
Well, how was that?
It didn't work. So
yeah.
I had wine squeeding, you know, squeeding. Squeeding. I don't know what that word squeeding means, but it was spraying all over the place. So
I have a quick question before you go.
I just want to ask a question. Who's actually doing their dishes? This reminds me, though. Maybe I should do mine, too. So, don't you like that reflection? Reflection is, I see my face in the water. Okay, sorry. See, we have, we got Nicole and Manny and Gail and Amy and Jeremy. It's like one of those things that's saying, thank you guys for being here. Go ahead, Gail.
Oh, no problem, Donnie.
Are you doing your dishes, Amy?
Nope.
Who's doing dishes?
Actually, I thought it, and I went to check her mic, and it was muted, and she's in there cooking, and there's a sizzling sound, but it's not coming from her.
Oh, okay. I was like, well, doesn't, I mean, I'm just, my biggest thing is curiosity. Like, okay, but just kind of curious who was doing it. It's like one of those things, you're not in trouble, you're not going to get grounded or nothing. I was just wondering what the heck was up. But people do some strange things when they don't realize they're on the air. Because we had one guy come on one night, and he actually swore. He had his hand up, and I clicked on it. It's like, so, you're on the air, sir? When I ask a question, he goes, oh, shit. Click. I was like, what was that all about? So was there something else you were going to say, Gail?
Well, actually, it's not a personal question at all. It's just a question about psychics. How is it that...
That's personal.
It's easier to, well, yeah. How is it possible for a psychic to be able to give really good readings to other people, but when it comes to themselves, they're very biased? Like, I can get almost clueless when it comes to reading cards for myself. It's like I'm brand new at reading. I'm like, oh, my God, what does that card mean? But when I read for somebody else, I can see all the cards as a whole, and I can explain it to them
All I consider and say is I've been doing this for a long time, and the idea of progressing to get to that point where I can actually read for myself,
It's still one of those things where I do have a tendency to still go to other people, which I just went to you, so you know that for a fact. But I'm just saying, if you're really new at it and that kind of stuff, just keep working with it. Because I start, you know, one reason I was going to the psychics a lot there for a while was just the idea of getting confirmation for things I was already picking up and then started realizing I was. And to trust myself and to trust my cards, exactly what they were telling me. Eureka, you know, so...
Yeah,
anybody
but maybe
else?
You don't want to tell yourself a bad outcome. Like, this cannot be possible. This is not bad. It's not a bad outcome. But
no,
it obviously is.
I understand. I took a card. Now I'm kicking myself in the head saying, okay, they were telling me what I needed to hear. So I shouldn't have thrown them away, but...
I actually had a real nice unicorn deck. It was actually a tarot unicorn deck. So I didn't like that. And then I had another deck called the Diamond Tarot, which was actually one of the best decks I've ever had. It's like a three-dimensional deck. It had colors and dimensions and all kinds of things you could see. I could sit there and take one card and do like a 40-minute reading.
Yeah.
And then
I
had
yourself?
On myself or anybody I was with, anybody. And it was I love these cards. But, and it was like really, I mean, it was one of the strongest connections I've ever had with my angels and guides, because I look at the card and they would just point things out in these cards. And you could see them walking through different dimensions and certain things that were coming into life. And like you could see one coming in and one going out in the process. I mean, they were almost like little movies within each card. And I've actually had that deck twice and ended up losing it twice. So. And now it's not even in print, so I'm actually trying to find a used deck. So, you know, sometimes with a situation like that, you do kick yourself in the butt, but you're like, it was a learning experience that brought me to a point of saying, okay, can I read for myself? Yes, I can.
Mm-hmm.
But there's nothing wrong
with
going...
Because I've been reading for 5 years, well, personally, for myself, and I'll do a free reading, like, whenever someone needs a reading. But for myself, I guess I always looked, you know, like, what does this card mean? But when it came to other people, and it's been for 5 years, you know, it was easier for me to read for other people versus myself. I guess it's because I'm biased and subjective when it comes to myself.
Is it a lot of phone work? Is it phone work or both, in person and phone work? Ouch.
Well, I believe this is the only time I've done with the phone, but usually
okay.
I do it online, and I don't hear the voice or anything like that. I just just write down what the reading has for them.
No, I'm just saying, when I started doing readings, when I had my shop for the first time, and sort of reading for people on a full-time basis, that's when I really picked up a lot of things and really learned a lot of things and discovered a whole lot more talents than I had.
Mm-hmm.
And it just kind of like poured out. What do you think, Amy?
I also think automatic writing as well.
And Amy,
I find that automatic writing is the best way for me to connect with my spirit guide.
Really?
When I'm reading for myself. Yes. Because I literally ask them a question and put the pen to the paper and they write. And so at that point I can't, unless I'm trying to cross things out, I can't really deny being on the paper. I think it happens with time. As you get less and less attached to the outcome, the information becomes clearer. And I think with time, I find that at least I can see for myself. This isn't true all day, every day, but in a lot of ways, I've become less attached to the outcome of things, and because of that, I get a clearer picture of it. And I find the same true when I read for other people. If I'm emotionally invested in it and in the outcome, it makes it really hard to read. So. I think that just happens with time, and I think automatic writing is a really good place to start, where you literally ask the guy the question, you write it down, and then they will then write the response back to you.
No, I've actually done the thing where I wrote letters to my guardian angels asking for assistance and stuff, and I've seen that, I've looked at the I've actually focused a little bit on the automatic writing too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like I do a lot more. I think that's the reason I like doing personal readings in person, face to face, is because I usually ask people to bring something of value with, what not add value, but something that can help me connect to them easier.
Mm-hmm.
and I can pick up that way. And then it's like they connect to the object between me and them, even to the point where the mediumship seems to be a whole lot easier, where I can pick up people who come in the, who, I don't know, it's like a beacon. Brings everybody in real quick.
Mm-hmm.
I had one incident with a beacon. Go ahead.
May I ask the person who just asked about the readings, are you a medium as well, or you you just receive psychic impressions?
I'm more clairaudient and clairvoyant when it comes to reading.
Okay, but you speak to, but you're able to speak with spirits and communicate with them?
Yeah, well, I wouldn't say spirits, just my guides.
Yes,
because I really don't like them. Okay. Okay.
It's actually the same thing, Those are spirits.
Yeah,
okay.
It's the same thing. Yeah, automatic writing might be a good, that might be one way that you can think about it. It's more like you just pose a question and then you wait for the answer. And you can either do automatic writing where you write it down, or you can wait for the first thought that pops into your head. But as soon as that first thought pops into your head, don't discredit it or discount it. That's the answer.
Yeah, because that's the whole thing, isn't it? When we talk about second-guessing ourselves, it gives us a hint that's always the first thing that pops in our head, because how can we second-guess something if it wasn't the first thought that pops in our head?
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to, okay, Jeremy, you still there?
No, but I am.
Okay.
We're here. We're just listening.
Okay, so what do you think about this? She's asking about psychics. So that was kind of funny. I'm asking questions about psychics, but don't take it personal. When we're all psychics, so how could we not take it personal? But
what was the question? Because I did miss it, I confess.
Gail, ask your question, please.
Okay, well, I was wondering, how is it possible? Well, I know it's possible, you know, to give accurate readings to someone else, and you're completely objective to it. But when it comes to reading for yourself, like if you have a pressing question and you want to ask yourself, your bias and subjective, how do you separate yourself?
Because
we don't want to
see the truth. I mean, if that's what you're asking, I mean, we are human when it comes all down to it. That I know that in past readings, when I've tried to read for myself, I looked at it a totally different way, and then when the end result didn't work out the way I saw it, I actually remembered what the reading was, and then saw the interpretation for what it really was. So I guess maybe if that's what you're asking, but, you know, and again, I'll also say, too, to that, that we shine flashlights down the road, you know, in a way. We have that ability and that gift to be able to do that, and free will does play a part of it, and this world is a school. This is it's like getting the answers to the test. And, you know, even when you're guiding somebody, to a certain direction, there are no guarantees. I mean, that person that you're reading for can screw things up. The person that you're actually, that person's inquiring about can screw the situation up. But you're looking at the momentum of the energy and which way it's headed, and then you can make those changes as you see fit and need, but we're not God, you know. And when it comes to ourselves, I think it's great that we can't read for ourselves, personally. I don't use readers personally. I don't like to know what's coming around the corner. I have used them in the past, but I mean Amy can even tell you I don't use them. I just don't.
Mm-hmm. I guess I do. Like, I like to get readers from other people, mainly because it's good to have. I guess it's like a conversation as well. You know, like, oh, I have. You know, you can't really share everything with everybody. You know, so but. I guess it's easier for me to have a conversation with a complete stranger and, you know, they could just talk about how I'm feeling. It's kind of like a counseling session, I would say, because, I'm a loner and I have trust issues. So, you know, just talking, you know, and just having someone to just talk to. But I guess that may be the reason why I get readings, because I know that I can pull a card and just write down the tarot reading and then later on look at it and see, oh, I see how it is. Don't get me wrong, I can actually figure it out later. after something's come up, like, oh, that's what that meant.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
The meaning of it. Write down the reading.
I think
reading,
we all face that. It's like hindsight, you know, and the armchair quarterback. You look back and it's just, you're precisely right about that. I think everybody goes through that. That reads, that tries to read for themselves, you know, that they, We don't really. We don't want to see. We are human when it comes down to it. If I, you know, am told by, say, ten good friends a certain course of action that I should take based upon logic and their observations, how many times have you seen a case like that where the individual being given the advice doesn't take it, goes down the wrong road, and then their friends are saying, "I told you so," and blah blah. Yeah, I know, you know. But then, when you're placed into that capacity to talk to one of those 10 people to give them advice, they do the same thing. Don't you think that's funny? I mean, we always have the answers for everyone else, and we always hear that same phrase. You know, I should follow my own advice. We should, but it's always hard when it's you that has to do it. And so, when you're reading the cards, it's the same thing. It's hard to even face the truth, much less follow a certain course of action that's, you know, very good for you. You know, and I think that's what I'm finding through the course of this work. It's pretty fascinating.
Yeah, if you listen.
That's
one thing I do it all the time. I listen constantly all the time. But it was a progression to get to that point, too, realizing that every reading I did was not just a learning. And I have a prayer, too. It says, everybody be blessed within a reading. That means me, too, as well. So I've started noticing that I've actually stopped readings and said, hold up, man. I think I just answered one of my questions and solved one of my problems. And it was just like that, you know. So I've learned from those things, and I keep doing it all the time. And my guys have come going, hey, you're really listening now. So they have a tendency to congratulate you, too. So I thought that was kind of cool.
I've noticed with time, too, that the more that I read for myself, the more accurate the readings get. When I first used to read for myself in the beginning, it was, like, way, way off base. And now I've noticed that they're actually, it's getting more and more true. And like I said, though, I think part of it is losing your attachment to the outcome. Like, part of it is when you almost kind of stop caring as much the way the things work out. You're not so attached to the images you're receiving or the messages you're receiving. So you're able to kind of just, you know, receive them. And I think also talking with your guides and sort of saying, can you clarify this? Because I don't quite know what you mean by this. I think that helps as well, because then they will clarify it for you and it can make more sense.
Yeah.
You won't, you know, necessarily jump. Because I've done that before where I've jumped to conclusions, even when I'm reading for other people. And what I've learned is to ask them, can you clarify, you know, because sometimes they'll show you something that isn't quite, you think is one thing, but they're going a totally different way as well. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Let's see.
Oh, I did want to mention something that's totally off topic, but it was what you guys were talking about like an hour ago. Someone typed in brainwashing.
Okay.
And I had a comment about that. I was thinking about that as well. Like, because I figured, like, why is everybody the same? You know, I felt like, you know, because, you know, I'm very much an observer. But I found out, well, I figured, this is what I came up with. People are pretty much conditioned by their parents from the time they're, like, 2 or 3 years old.
Okay.
Sorry, that was
so
me.
For, so, for instance, like, if you thought about it, if a parent didn't have any influence negatively on their children, there would be no, the word racist would be eradicated, because the only way that a person is racist is if their parents actually point out people when they're toddlers and say, hey, you hate this person. And so when they're 10, they have all this anger filled, you know, there's all these emotions towards a person that looks like somebody, but their parents didn't realize that there's, like, different nationalities, and they're going to come in all colors, but they can have, like, light skin or brown skin, and they're not white, but they grow up just hating a dark-skinned person, but they like everybody that's light-skinned. So you can be Mexican, Asian, everybody, and you're like, oh, well, hold on, that's not what my parent taught me, so I can like you. So I feel like it's all parents' fault. Parents screwed everybody up. But that's because
right.
Their parents screwed them up.
Yeah, but there is a point when you get to a point in your life where you start questioning things. So you do know, I think there's this internal thing about what is good and evil. How's that?
I think she brings up a really great point. I was going to do a show on this about racism. And it all came from this show that I went to. It was about the Black Oscars. And I went to the show just to listen to what they were talking about, and I wound up getting kicked out because I was white. And I thought,
wow.
You know, why are we separating ourselves this way? Like, she said to me that the show's host, and I won't mention her name, she said, you should have called in for a white pass.
What?
Yeah, she said, I should have called in for a white pass. I said, I didn't think I needed your permission to be here. I was just listening to your show.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, well, this is a black show. And I was like, okay, well, I'm a white person. Can I listen to your black show? Why are we doing this anyway? Why are you, you know, separating yourself with me by drawing this racial line? I don't understand that.
And well, there is a difference,
being,
too. You know that?
We're all part of society. We're all part of humanity. No, that's okay. Go ahead, Donnie.
See, the thing
no,
is,
we,
people
no, we are.
Doing it. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
No, I think it is taught because I was in Colorado and I went to an all-black church. It was a Baptist church. I didn't realize it was. And I walk in, I'm like, oh my gosh. I was kind of freaked out for a minute because of all the things I've heard. But then this lady walks up and says, can I escort you to your seat? And from that moment on, from that person coming across that way, I let down my resistance and just let it be what it was. But, you know, walking through the doors, there were some questions and that kind of stuff. But to people having these, and they have the all-black whatever it is, this church here was just basically black people going to it. They didn't call it the all-black church. And they never mentioned it one time when I walked in there. And they actually made me feel really at home. But then there's other people, the black Oscars and stuff. These people were definitely pointing out to everybody that we are black, and therefore there's a difference, which I've never really seen the difference. I mean, I was sitting there talking to a friend of mine before. I said, I've talked to people, and I've had clients doing phone work and stuff, and never realized they were black, never realized they were Japanese, never realized they were, you know, Mexican or something like that, until I actually asked, you know, I said, well, you know, what nationality are you? And I said, wow, that's kind of cool, because I never really picked that up. I just saw her. I picked up the essence of who that woman was, or that person who I was doing the reading for. That's all I saw. I didn't see any race or anything like that. And I saw the spirit, just as the spirit is the same thing as everyone. There is no color.
No, there shouldn't be. I mean, we're all human beings. We're all a part of humanity. And that was my question to her. What makes, I mean, why are we setting ourselves apart? I mean, I could say, well, I'm white. And now if I had, they were talking about the Grammys or, no, the Oscars. And then they were talking about this other show, and I'm not sure what it was about, but it was only for black people. It was like, I can't remember what it is. I'll have to look it up. But it was like an award show, and I said, you know, if I were to do that, and I didn't say this in the chat room, but I was thinking to myself, if I were to do that, if I were to call my show, Cupid Psychic Aim, a white show, what the hell? I'd have people knocking down my door calling me a racist, you know?
But if you have an all-woman,
she can have her black show, and I can show up being white and listen and be told that I don't have permission to be there. And that's not racism?
Yeah.
I don't know. That just really opened my eyes. I was like, oh, my God, I got to do a show about this.
There's
this
just some,
is crazy.
There's also the things, too, we were talking about before. We were talking about not just race, but also man, you know, female and male. Because right now, realistically, you cannot have an all-male gym. You can to a point if you have a private gym. But you can't if you have a public gym.
Yes,
you can.
Do it. I know of one.
Well, but you also have to understand, too, it goes from state to state. So, because we live in the United States, which is actually like 50 countries. And
I guess it was different when I lived in New York. They had all-male gyms. It was lots of fun.
Yeah, but you have to look at those gyms clearly, too. They, they don't sit there and say we're all-male gym. If a woman walks in, they can't keep her from joining the gym. Because they've already had those controversies going on where you have to let them come in the gym. And, you look at the situation going, I don't understand. A lot of this stuff is going on where we can have certain things. But back in the day, you're right, there's all the whole thing. But it's kind of like reversed where now we have this reverse prejudice for the people that were being prejudiced against have turned things around. And it's like we've always said before, you know, the idea of doing the same thing is still the same thing. It's still
I think we're all hanging on to
history. I think it's all intention as well. It's all intention because it's just like the N-word. Like, okay, I mean, black people could say that to each other all the time because the intention is not to hurt you or harm you. It's like, hey, that's my N. But then when a white person says it, the assumption is, which is, you know, historically based, like, okay, this has always happened. Like, okay, you call me an N-word. I know your intention is to be hateful.
But, you know, so it's like all the intention. Like the Black Awards, like, I probably couldn't tell you about that, but probably because of Black Hollywood and how they don't get that many shots at being, you know, in movies and things of that nature. So we go, okay, so let's support our people. You know, and so it's like, but, you know, for them to not accept you, I guess it's because of that right there. Like, okay, well, we already know how people are. You know, it's been centuries old. It's not like, oh, my God, why are you like this? Like, you know.
That was the revelation that came out of it. It was amazing to see how much everyone's still clinging on to history. Like, I didn't have slaves. I had nothing to do with that. It ended 150 years ago with the Emancipation Proclamation. Why am I still being judged for my racist history? And why are you still defending your race?
That's what I said at the beginning. So I feel that racism and prejudice, unfortunately, is a psychic wound. And the thing we also have to remember, though, is that even though slavery was so many years ago, it's only just 60 years that people of color can even vote, only 60 years that people of different races could marry. Women didn't have the right to vote until the 20s. So in a lot of ways, we haven't come quite as far as we think we have. And I think that it's just that racism and prejudice is a psychic wound, and we need to address it. And I think
also,
the way that we treated you was not – it was basically like they were perpetuating the very thing that they were railing against, which – is an irony that was probably lost on them, sadly.
Yes.
But I think
as Americans
and also as citizens of the world, we have to be honest about the fact that we are very prejudiced. We are. We are as a whole. It's the truth. And, I mean, it's not just race. It's in many different ways. And you see it even with very well-meaning people. You know, we all do. I think we all have to confront that in ourselves. And I think, you know, that is a psychic wound. And it's...
Well, see, the thing is, people raise their children to act as if slavery was yesterday or 2 weeks ago. And so, like, when someone, and to glorify, like, oh, yeah, you used to be a slave and things like that. But you understand that, I've never been a slave. I don't remember. But, you know, it doesn't matter anyway, because if I were a slave, that means I'll be the victim. But you can't blame the victim for something so horrendous. But in the UK and Europe, they ended slavery in the 1600s or so. And so, like, in schools, what they do is they talk about slavery, it was bad, and then they go on into, like, the parliament or whatever type of government they have. They just leave it alone. And here it's like, hey, let's dress up in costumes as a slave. You just hear about that?
Yeah,
like, a couple of weeks ago, they asked a little boy.
Honest,
but, you know, it's like a big thing.
We don't really fully address it. Like, we've never really fully addressed it and healed from it. And I think that's kind of what perpetuates it. But, I mean, for me, like, living abroad and working abroad and having met people abroad, there's a lot of prejudice overseas as well when it comes to Black and white, and especially being biracial. And that's still very prevalent there. Now, slavery and sort of the psychic wound of that may have been something they left behind, but I've definitely heard and seen and witnessed that is very alive and prevalent there as well. So I think it's like we really do need to confront that and kind of be honest about our prejudice and kind of be honest about what's in our hearts. And I hope as a world one day we'll be able to do that. I certainly hope as Americans we'll be able to do it, because we just are like in a real big state of denial. And I think if we could be more honest about it, some of that nonsense and negativity, it would kind of just go away on its own. But we kind of have to be honest. I think
the way you could probably help yourself and humanity out is asking yourself, why are you like that? Like, why do you have these emotions? And I'm quite sure that it will always end up like, this is how I was raised.
Yeah,
I mean, you can't just like just walk up to somebody and they're like so kind and polite to you. And then you hate them because, you know, that's just retarded. I mean, that's retardation, to be honest with you. You just don't, that's retarded.
Nutty.
You know, it has to be a reason. Like, I could say that I'm a woman, but I don't deal with many women because I've been backstabbed by women. They're conniving and manipulative, but I can't say that for every woman. I can name a few women. But, you know, but I can't say, like, oh, all women suck, because I'm a woman as well. And you can't, especially in the South, you can't say, like, okay, a race, because slavery was down here in the South and everybody's mixed with every race. I have Indian American in me. So, you know, it's just,
you know, mm-hmm. you know, if you actually think, people have this issue with, like, thinking. It's like an atrocity to actually think. You just memorize and pass the test, and then you have it. But, you know, non-thinkers, they just scratch my butt.
It's like tune in tomorrow for part two. How do you feel? I was going to say. No, I was just saying, you know, it's the ideal situation. I just like to warn everybody that, you know, the way Blog Talk Radio works. We could be sitting here talking, and next thing we'd be all going, what happened? So I just want to warn everybody ahead of time that we've been talking, gosh, for another 40 minutes after the show. So I'm just saying. So if we get cut off, I didn't do anything, I swear.
Is Bree still there?
No, Bree got snapped off, and then she couldn't get back on because the show's not airing, you know, not streaming anymore. But I was talking to her in the chat room, and she was telling me she was sorry she got cut off. And, hey, are you doing two shows tomorrow? And I said, I hope so. We'll be positive and say, yes, of course. Yes. She's still in chat room talking.
Okay. Donnie, I have a work call, so I'm going to put you on hold for a second. Are you going to keep going with the show?
Yes, we shall.
Okay, cool. I'll be right back.
All right. Bye. Okay, good. I'm confused.
How often do you do your midnight round tables?
Oh, good question. Actually, we do them, what was it? I was doing them, Friday and Saturday nights, where I'm on the air for 5 hours. I do my 9 o'clock show, and then I do my midnight show. And then I've actually done them on Sunday nights, and I actually have this show I was trying for a while on Sunday afternoon, which I was calling Free Angel Reading Roundtable Brunch, because it was at noon. And then I do, like, I think it's Mondays, I think. I was trying to do Monday and Tuesday, and then one day of the week I was not doing any midnight show until Thursday night to give myself a little bit of break, because when I do the Friday and Saturday show, Sunday I just want to sleep all day. So I did a noon show just so I'd have a reason to get up. I don't know why I did that, but I've actually had a pretty good show with those too, because people come in and we've had some issues, you know, where, you know, the ideal of just anything, but we've had the same kind of topics too. Because I sit and look at the situations of prejudice and that kind of stuff. The only way you're ever going to deal with something like that is on an individual basis.
Mm.
We consider talking about the masses, but until you actually can really work with somebody on an individual about changing the way they feel and the heart and actually getting away from this situation, my parents taught me this. I still feel, because I've seen a lot of people that come out of this whole thing, been taught. There was one girl, well, I think it was actually a guy, and it was actually a couple of people.
It's a guy.
What I'm saying is they were taught. They were brought up by devil worshippers. And they came to a point in their lives where they were sitting there going, there's something wrong with this. And they walked away from it. And it was, you know, it was one of those things that they could feel something was wrong with it. It wasn't anything that was around them, really, because they were around it. Anything and everything was evil and the devil and this and the other. So they just felt like there was something more. And it's been proven the fact that people are attracted to the light. And I've had a couple of readings I've done for a couple of women where they're going, how come I keep attracting these deadbeat guys? I'm like, well, you seem like a very positive person, so it makes perfect sense. Why would you attract people who are looking for some kind of healing or looking for the light? So you're going to attract those kind of people. They're looking for something that you give, which is love, so they want that. Maybe they're not able to give it, and maybe they don't appreciate it, but they are definitely looking for it.
I'm back, John.
Yeah, I agree with it.
Ooh.
Oh, I agree. I agree with the old man. Okay, I get along with just about everybody. People that you would think that would probably be wearing the Confederate flag and the hoodies and stuff like that, I would have beers with and party and do the two-step with. People just don't see me as, what they were raised to hate or whatever. They just don't come to me like that. They would tuck me in at night in their trailer home. I do agree with that on the individual basis, because if I come around and, you know, like, they're probably, you know, have a good conversation, they're throwing their Stetson hat on me and you know, we just hang out and party. I've never had I don't have issues with racism per se. I mean, I have issues with idiots, but that's just because they're projecting their insecurities onto me, and then I have to be my Taurus self, and I can only have too much, and then, you know, I can just tell them the harsh truth about themselves, and they can't really reply back because it's actually the truth, and every time they will ever see me again, it reminds them of that time I crushed their spirit. But, you know, I don't like crushing spirits. I'd rather help than heal.
Yeah, I was going to sit there and say 215 area code. You had your hand up?
Oh, hi.
How are you?
I'm great. This is Dionysus.
Hey, what's up, man? How you doing?
Hey, what's up, Dionysus?
Everyone jumping at once. Oh, my gosh. How are you guys?
Good.
How are you doing?
Good.
You're doing good.
I'm great. I've been listening to the show the whole time. I'm just deciding now that the show is over to come up to the air.
Yeah, I was like, okay, I just noticed he's got his hand up. Okay. The guy with his hand up in the back row. Yeah, tell us what you think.
Oh, my gosh. You guys were speaking about several different things. What do I think about what?
That's true.
That's really true.
Well, we had a conversation a while ago about, like, the division of races and drawing racial lines and how we're kind of separating ourselves from each other. And it was a fascinating conversation we had.
Oh, we lost somebody.
I do think, being that I use astrology, you know, I know a lot, it's going to sound like Greek to a lot of you, but Neptune is going to be moving into Pisces, and Neptune in astrology is the planet of equality, and Pisces is also the sign of equality and unity amongst all of humanity. And so, for me, I feel like all separation and, I guess, categorization within society is going to dissolve. It's going to go away, like, abruptly. So I feel like it's maybe a concern as of this year, but in 2012, it's just going to disappear, and people are going to cast a blind eye to the color of another person's skin or age, and et cetera. We've seen it time and time again, you know, just with the fact that there are more and more multiracial individuals being born, and also the fact that younger kids are teaching older people, whereas in the past that's just not how it was. And so now, you know, a lot of the judgments and stereotypes that really they're dissolving, they're falling away. It's a momentary concern, but it's not one that's going to last.
Cool. I'll keep visualizing that, just falling away.
Yeah, that's definitely positive, yeah. Something to look forward to.
I think it is definitely an opportunity to, you know, I almost see through this, you know, the soul chooses what it wants, and you choose the body you're going to incarnate in, and at least that's my view, that's the way I've been taught. And, I mean, I do think that it's an opportunity for growth, this opportunity, like Dionysus was saying, for more unity, you know, as opposed to being so separate and so, you know, so many different categories. And I think, if anything, through all of that and all of the chaos, I think that's really what we can take away from it and learn, is that, you know, we can be unified. You know, we can be a unified front, that we're all from the same.
Oh, most definitely.
You know, more so than anything. I hope,
and,
you know, that's what, you know, people can take away and learn, because I feel like that's what I get from it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with these tragedies, these big world tragedies, when things like this happen, people, they don't look necessarily towards the race, but they look at the events that are taking place, such as a tsunami or a hurricane and an earthquake, and they look at the fact that, you know, people, it may not be a positive thing, but, you know, they realize, okay, people are hurt from it. They're not looking at the color of a person's skin. They just realize that person's hurt, and it could be me. I can be hurt. And so, therefore, we both share that same, I guess, that quality of being a human being beyond race. You know, we all
bleed the same blood, basically. And that's what these tragedies are teaching us, you know, to look beyond what we, you know, just the outer appearances and to focus on something deeper and more meaningful. And I think healing is something that transcends age and color and creed and religion and, you know, all that stuff. I'm sorry for not being so elegant appreciation tonight, but I'm like, I'm reading a chat room, I'm playing a video game, which is unlike me. I don't know. But it was a very good discussion. I just wanted to be a part of it, so thanks for it.
No, you made a great point. I think it's kind of sad how tragedy, you know, is able to unify everybody. I wish we could do that, and I'm hoping we can do that,
without
you
it.
Know, just normally. Yes,
yeah,
without it,
really.
Exactly.
We can. It's called. It was called Woodstock. But think about it. You know,
oh boy.
Woodstock burning. Freaking. You know, it's like we've had some things here and there. But you, like you said, the idea was just getting together just for the heck of it, instead of having some kind of motivation as a carnival or fundraiser or something like that, and just getting together just to have that fellowship just for the hell of it. And say, hey, you know, I believe in this, you believe in that, so therefore celebrate just the ideal of being who we are.
It's vital, though. I don't know why, but lately I've just been feeling, and I've always been, like, really, really sensitive to just energies, and I always follow my feelings. And I just feel like right now it's so necessary for people within the human race, especially to really focus on where humanity is going in the long run, not just to focus on the self, but to think about the sustenance and the preservation of humanity in general. And I feel that people that are in the spiritual community, people that are seeking, you know, to focus on just something beyond this earth, you know, are the ones that should step up, you know, and come together and really, really not just focus on giving, like, these shallow type of readings, you know, to answer someone's question in order to help that person find their soulmate, or they lost their keys and, you know, they want a reading for that or whatever. I think that we need to really utilize our abilities or talents or skills or whatever and develop them to such an extent that we can better humanity. I mean, I think that it's more serious. Our abilities as astrologers, tarot readers, and whatever else there is out there nowadays, we need to use these things in order to really, really fix up the state of humanity. I don't know why I feel like this, but I just feel like it's so important for all of us to come together and really focus on it.
Yeah, it's like putting them both together, you know? It's like, yeah, one individual, but also, I always felt like the individual, the stronger the individual is, also strengthens society as a whole, too, as well. So it's each individual, each column, and you put together and you have a full picture. And then taking that one step further and then, you know, uniting as a society too, and moving forward together and realizing that there is no difference. And a lot of people, you know, are you a white person or pale? You know, realistically, the idea, I heard a guy say, looked at a white man and said, you know something, you're more of a colored person than I am, because in the process of going throughout the seasons, you turn colors. In the summer months, you're brown, and in the winter months, you're red. You know, so it's like looking at those situations and realizing, you know, that actually that term could fit anybody. And to realize that, in that case, since it can fit anybody, then why can't it just be everybody? Because, things just, you unite and say, okay. But I've never been, I've looked at situations of being around people, and I know the difference and that kind of stuff, but when I'm actually in the midst of being friends with people, I don't think about those things. It's just the idea of the individuals in front of me. Let's go do this, or I'm working with somebody. Go out and do whatever. You never thought about, okay, we don't want to go there because, you know, you're black, or we don't want to go there because you're white. We just
some of the people I used to hang out with and still do. We just go and do whatever. So that's what I was saying. You know, certain societies, certain parts of the country, there's more worse. I was in Mississippi, and Mississippi was like, God, it was freaking, it was scary. I mean, I was in Jackson, Mississippi, and there's this girl I was dating, and we, and I just met her. Well, I wouldn't say I just met her, but it was the idea of moving to Mississippi to be with her. And then we pulled up to a drive-thru, and she said, look at that. I said, look at what? And she used the N-word. And I never knew she was like that until that point. When we pulled up the drive-thru and she said, look at the, she goes, look what's at the window. And I'm thinking, going, okay, it's a lady. You know, she's a little overweight. The hat doesn't fit right. I'm not even thinking that at all. And she's like, and then she used the N-word. I'm like, oh, that's what she means. But then I also look at the situation, too, what kind of person I was dealing with. She wanted me to meet her parents, right? And I hadn't got a place down there yet. So she said, why don't you just stay at this hotel? I'll pay for the room tonight. I'll talk to my parents about what's going on in the whole situation. Smooth things over. I said, okay, no problem. You know something? She never came back. I sit at this hotel room for 3 days until I figure, you know, she's not coming back. So she told me what kind of person she was. So therefore, of her acting the way she did, with the prejudice and actually putting the word ignorance on it made perfect sense to me, because I don't want to even say that we can say ignorance, because she knew better.
Yeah.
I think
as a whole society, we have to get past the whole physical realm. I'm like, let's just put race aside. Then we have like the socioeconomic playing field in this country, or let's say in this world, with the haves and the have-nots and the whole thing about Marxism. I mean, we have to get past, I think, all of this. I think the whole key is just transcending the entire physical realm, you know? And that's going to be some feat. That's going to be some feat.
But not neglecting it.
Because I think we do have these bodies for a reason. Yeah.
That's right.
Balance
between the physical and the spirit.
Yeah. I mean, I think we do. And I think we have colors for a reason. I mean, I really do. I do agree that we do have to be unified, but I also think I think sometimes we have to go to those places in ourselves that we might not want to go, where there is prejudice and where that does exist, because we do have these bodies for a reason. And I think, that is something to consider, because if it was just about spirit, we definitely wouldn't be in these bodies.
But I'm just saying, every time I look at spirit and I look at the aura and I look at the chakras, it's color everywhere, just between those things, but not in the sense of being, like you said, with prejudice, they always kind of separate themselves. But if you look at the spirit, there is lots of color. You look at the sun, there's tons of colors coming out of the sun, not just yellows and oranges. But you got to look at the situation, how they also are unified, how they work together. You know, when you look at the sun, the very first thing you see when you look at the sun is you see a bright light. But as you look at it closer, you start seeing there are different colors that make that up.
There's lots of colors. You can look at the sun, blue, dark brown, white.
It's beautiful.
I don't know. I've thought a great deal about race, you know, and just trying to conceptualize it's obvious. We can't just ignore it and say, I'm just a soul and I'm in this body and it just happens to be, I don't know, olive or orange or black or whatever, you know. But, I mean, we have
I'm sunburned.
Human here. And I feel like, I just can't conceive of any real reason that people choose the races that they choose, people's souls choose the bodies and the races that they choose. I mean, on a spiritual level, I just can't conceive of how it's important, you know, in that respect. It just, I don't see any importance on being one race to another. Maybe each race has certain challenges and obstacles that differ, to the other races.
That's what I think it is.
Maybe the soul wants to go through that experience in order to learn this particular